Good morning. Welcome. It's Brian Noonan in for Dean Richards on 720 WGN. Great to be with you again this Sunday. Wonderful show planned. We're going to be talking to Angela Grovey from The Play That Goes Wrong. We'll be looking at the Bears and breaking down all the X's and O's and the keys to the game. Bears-Rams tonight at Soldier Field. We'll have Dave's far-flung forecast. The folks from Morton's are coming in. And we're going to give you a chance to go see The Wizard of Oz if you know some Wizard of Oz trivia after 11:30. And when you call in, which we hope you do, at 312-981-7200, you'll be talking to Tom Hush, the executive producer of the big broadcast. So if you are nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. Good morning, Andy. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning again.
Good to see you again this week. And I know the burning question on everyone's mind is, all right, listen, it's fine to have Brian here, but where is Dean?
Where is Dean?
What is going on with Dean? What's with the work ethic all of a sudden? Why two Sundays in a row we're subjected to Noonan? I don't know what's going on. Only one man can accurately answer that question, and it is, in fact, Dean Richards. Hi, Dean.
Now, I've had people emailing me all week saying, why don't you take a third week off?
You never should have given me your email address.
That's not right.
No, that's especially hurtful during the holiday season.
I didn't know Shawnee had so many fake email addresses that he
did. I've had email issues this weekend, and I'm hoping that you weren't burned by that.
Wow.
Like I was.
Oh, no. So. Dave was hacked.
It wasn't hacked.
No.
But it was a little bit of a mess yesterday afternoon.
Oh, no. Everything all right?
You know,
yeah,
it is. You got to get off that CompuServe.
It's the dial-up modem that did it.
Yeah, those free DVDs that come in the mail, or the CDs that come in the mail, don't work anymore, Dave.
Yes. CDs and floppy disks.
I tried the floppy disk, and that thing failed. Couldn't even stick it in the computer anymore.
And we were all excited to be able to access the internet with the dial-up modems. It was awesome.
Oh, I've got 10 free hours on AOL.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the buzzing.
You may be the only one, Dave. I have enough sounds in my head. I don't need another buzz going on.
So,
Dean, where are you?
Where are you, Dean? Seriously, what's going on?
I am in Los Angeles, California right now. Actually, I'm in Beverly Hills.
Precise. Fancy.
Pretty fancy schmancy for a kid from the South Side. Here doing interviews. That's where I've been the last couple of weeks. The month of December is a super busy time for, you know, all the A-list interviews because all the big holiday movies are coming out. Then last week I was in New York interviewing the cast of Mary Poppins and Aquaman. Jason Momoa, who hosted Saturday Night Live last night.
Right.
We interviewed him in the cast of Aquaman last week in New York and a couple of other movies. And this week here in Los Angeles to talk to the star and the cast of the movie that got the most Golden Globe nominations the other day, Christian Bale, who does an amazing job in his transformation, playing former Vice President Dick Cheney in the new movie called Vice. So
he's almost unrecognizable in the trailers.
He is completely unrecognizable. You would not know that it's not Dick Cheney in this movie. That's how much he looks like him. He put on 40 pounds for the role, which is exactly what I do also.
Sure.
For my roles that I have on radio, which is odd because you really don't have to.
Well, it makes sense now that we're streaming, now that people can watch you on WGNradio.com. It makes sense. You want to transform.
Yeah, I like to be in character.
Yes.
I like to be in character. The jolly, chubby talk show host.
That's why people respect you, Dean, because you give 100% all the time.
I do commit that way, but as does Christian Bale and Amy Adams, who's in this movie. She plays Lynn Cheney, and Adam McKay, who is mostly known for comedic works.
Yeah.
Directs this movie, and it is a little bit funny. It's not a straightaway political drama. There is an irreverence and comedic element to the movie. So I'm very excited to talk with them today, but also former Chicagoan Steve Carell from so many from
Second
The Office,
City
from
and
40-Year-Old Virgin, and Chicago when he was at Second City. He's got a new movie called Welcome to Marwin.
I've seen the trailers for this, and as we were, my wife and I were watching the trailer the other day, and I think it looks very interesting. My wife's critique of the trailer,
that looks weird.
That was my few word take when I got out of the movie last night after
Oh, really?
I saw it.
Okay.
It's really different. He plays a guy who was severely beaten and left mentally handicapped as a result of it, and has created this sort of puppet doll world in which he lives. And the movie goes back and forth from this world of dolls, which look exactly like all the people in the movie, in which he lives his life, to his life now, a completely different person after the beating. And it goes back and forth, and there is sort of a kind of a childish whimsy to the movie and a real empathy to the movie of someone who is the victim of such violence. But at the end of the day, the movie is a little bit on the weird side. So I'm, you know, working on some non-offensive questions right now.
And Steve Carell, who was so well known for his comedy early in his career, seems to be almost making choices that are the antithesis of comedy. He's like, I don't want to be associated with this anymore. It seems strange.
That's definitely going to be one of my questions today. It's almost as if he's purposely avoiding comedy to show that he's a dramatic actor. And he's a very good dramatic actor.
Sure.
He's had a lot of good movies. He also has another movie that opened a few weeks ago called Beautiful Boy.
Right.
Which he plays the father of an opioid-addicted son, which is just a heartbreaker. It's a great movie, but it's really sad to watch.
Yeah, there's a point where it's like,
right,
come
it's
on, Steve.
As if he's purposely trying to not be funny Steve Carell.
And there's nothing wrong with doing what got you to that point. You know, you can go back and do another broad comedy. People will still respect you as an actor when you do a dramatic role.
Yeah.
I don't know
if he's waiting to get an Oscar. He's been nominated for an Oscar a couple of times, but maybe he's waiting for that kind of validation before he goes back to comedy. I think it would be great. I'm pushing, everybody's talking about, will there be an Office reunion? There have been a couple of hints at that. I think an Office movie would be really fun, don't
that
you?
Would be, yeah, I think that would be hilarious. And it then the commitment is a very limited time thing, because it sounds like that was one of the reasons that he's hesitant. One, revisiting the material, but two, committing to all that time. So a movie would kill two birds with one stone.
I think it would be fun, and you bring Ricky Gervais into it and of the characters from the British Office. And, you make a big deal of it.
Yeah, some sort of merger, acquisition. Dean, I want you to make note of this, because now we're writing the treatment here, so you and I should get some sort of credit if this becomes something.
We should get something more tangible than just a little screen credit, I would think, for coming up with this brilliant idea.
Wow.
And I'm sure we're the only two who have thought of this, by the way.
Oh, sure. Exactly. We're the only guests. Let me ask you this, because you were talking about Vice, and you're going to talk to the cast later. Do you think the movie will be affected in any way because of the timing, just with the death of President Bush this week or last week and the funeral? Do you think that's going to have any effect on the movie, or because they're two different things and it's, you know, his son's administration that's being pictured here,
it might be. It's possible that it has a little bit of a effect. George H.W. Bush is not featured in the movie very much. There are a couple of quick scenes just to as points of reference, but there are several scenes with Christian Bale as Dick Cheney and the George W. Bush, who is, I don't have my notes in front of me right now, and he's one of my favorite actors, and I can't think of his name, who plays George W. Bush, who is so great in this movie. Just completely escaping me. And the phone where I would normally cheat to look it up real quick is the one that I'm talking on right now. So I can't cheat and look it up. But yes, I think to answer your question, it becomes a little more relevant now because, we've been kind of re-exposed to both of the President Bushes.
Sam Rockwell.
Over the last week or so. Sam Rockwell, yeah, he's so great in this movie. So great that I couldn't remember his name.
Well, listen, he was so into the character that you didn't recognize him as Sam Rockwell. You saw him as President Bush.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Completely lost in the role, so I could not think of the name of the actor in there. Right? How's Schwani doing this morning? Because I haven't seen him. Well, I don't think I've ever been off the show for 2 weeks in a row.
He's hanging on, Dean. He's a little distraught
for me.
When he walked out this morning and saw it was me and not you, he put on a brave face, but I could tell he was a little broken inside.
I
don't blame him.
I thought he would have been celebratory that I'm not there for 2 weeks in a row.
No, it's one of those relationships, Dean, where he may give you that vibe when you're here in the building, but when you're not around, he's like a puppy that you leave alone in the house too long. He's tearing things up. I see him running around the newsroom. It's a disaster. He wants you back.
Yeah, he does that running around the newsroom even when I'm there.
Then maybe he's just
been
normal.
Able to figure that out. But I just figured it would be like the fun substitute teacher, being there, and he can goof around and, do whatever he wants.
Well,
to
he is trying. I noticed he hasn't been at the news desk for a while. He's wandering around. I don't know what he's up to.
I have a newsroom to run.
I
was working hard to put together the 9:30 newscast.
Right.
Oh, we have a 9:30 newscast?
Right.
I don't know. I see how he treats you, Dave. I like the dynamic of you two. I'm not going to wade into it. I'm just going to observe it from afar and enjoy
it. The dynamic duo.
Better off. Yeah, you're better off, Brian, really.
I got to ask you two holiday movie things, Dean, and I know you can't really say too much about it because it's not out yet, but you mentioned that you talked to the cast of Mary Poppins last week. I know you can't say much. Should we be excited?
You should be excited. I'll just say this about it. If you think you're going to go into this and see something as magical as the original Mary Poppins, you're going to be disappointed for that, because there is nothing they could have done in this movie that could possibly match the magic of that original Mary Poppins movie, not to mention, 50-plus years of nostalgia that goes along with it. I mean, there's the movie itself, but all these 50 years of wonderful memories of getting together with the family and seeing this movie, probably a dozen or more times together. But I think they do a very nice job in this movie. It's fun. There are some definite moments of nostalgia that reference back to the original movie. Dick Van Dyke's in the movie.
Oh, nice.
So he actually got a rousing cheer from the audience when I saw it.
Oh, nice.
When he came on screen. So, there are some moments like that, but don't go into it thinking that you're going to be as blown away as your memories are of the original Mary Poppins movie. I actually came out of the movie it took me a few days really to kind of separate my fondness for the original movie from what I actually saw on the screen. And I had to, I had to really think about I need to judge and critique what I'm seeing on the screen, not my memories of the original movie. That's not fair to the new movie. But after I've given it some thought, I do like the new movie very much, and it's wonderful. It's for the whole family. Lin-Manuel Miranda, who was nominated for Golden Globe this week, is great. Emily Blunt, who plays Mary Poppins now, was nominated for a Golden Globe, and she's great. Without giving you a full official review.
Yeah, sounds pretty promising.
It's definitely one you're going to like, and it opens on December 19th, so we don't have to wait too much longer for that one.
Well, your exemplary producer, Tom, is saying, you got a break, we got to get to the news. And I was like, I'm not cutting Dean off on his own show.
Just ignore him. He'll talk in your ear all morning.
All day, Dean, nonstop with him. It's like mosquitoes have infested my dome, but, I don't have the pull that you do. So enjoy Los Angeles. Will you be back tomorrow on the WGN Morning News?
I'll be back on the TV Morning News tomorrow. And as far as I know, I should be back on the radio next Sunday. So
well, listen,
I appreciate you filling in for the last couple of weeks.
Pleasure, Dean. It's a lot of fun, and I'll try to keep Dave at least somewhat in line till you get back.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Thanks, Dean. We'll talk to you later.
See you, bye.
Bye. That's Dean Richards. He's in Los Angeles. We got to do this. Then there's more.
And our far-flung forecast. Woo-hoo! We don't go all that far away today, Brian and Andy. Right. We go down south to Decatur, Illinois. It is the county seat of Macon County. And it's a population of 76,122. It was incorporated and formed around 1829, so less than 10 years after Illinois became a state, Decatur was formed. We bring up Decatur, though, because about 100 years ago, it was the home to a football team called the Decatur Staleys.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't much long after that they moved to Chicago, thanks to a certain person named George Halas. Now, they were called the Decatur Staleys because the club was established by the A.E. Staley Food Starch Company in Decatur as a company team. And, of course, when they moved to the Chicago in 1922, the name was changed to the Chicago Bears. Now, we bring up all of this because it was on yesterday's date in 1940 that the Bears beat the Redskins 73-0.
Wow.
In the NFL championship game.
Suddenly the Bulls don't feel that bad. Suddenly the Bulls are walking with a little more pep in their step. See? We're
20 more points.
Yeah. We could have won it all.
So it was, and this was after Chicago lost a game only by 4 points. The final score there, 7-3 against the Redskins. And the Redskins coach made fun of them. George Preston Marshall was the man. He told reporters, I love this, he told reporters that Halas and the team were, quote, quitters and crybabies.
Wow.
And Coach Halas used those words to galvanize his players. And look what happened. 73-0 on yesterday's date in 1940 for the NFL championship game. Of course, long, long, long before the Super Bowl stuff.
So almost 80 years ago, there was still bulletin board material.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It just wasn't on social media.
Right, exactly. They weren't tweeting out their insults.
Correct.
But in Decatur, Illinois, the original home of the Decatur Staleys, now, of course, the Chicago Bears.
Right. And the blue and orange because of George Halas having gone to University of Illinois, mm-hmm. so he adopted their colors. Andy, I'm sure, has a multitude of...
And has all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
on
he's got a lot of trivia, a lot of Bears trivia.
Who was the quarterback in that game?
Sid Luckman.
Yeah, Sid Luckman.
Was it
Sid
really?
Luckman? It was Sid Luckman.
Was it really?
Look how smart Noonan is.
Yes,
with his one old quarterback.
That's why you're on the radio, Brian.
It was his second year. He was the first round selection, number 2 overall of the 1939 NFL draft. And Luckman inducted as a player into the Hall of Fame in 1965.
Wow.
And, you know, you look at some of the records that he held, and, you know, guys like Jay Cutler and now Trubisky are threatening some of these records that he half of the Bears, almost 15,000 yards passing in just over 12 seasons.
Man, that's amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah.
Especially back then when passing was not, you know, not the thing.
It was the T formation. It was not the forward pass. And
well, they thrilled the nation with that, Andy.
Yes, they did.
The nation with the team formation, yes.
And they were very loyal to Illinois as well.
Yes.
Yeah. 28 touchdown passes for him in 1943.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Well, in Decatur, not quite as warm as it is here, 14 degrees, but clear skies at this point in Decatur right now.
I have spent a number of a lot of time or some time in Decatur, Illinois, and I always think when I hear about Decatur, back when I was at Southern Illinois, there was a band that toured around and played all the bars, Pork and the Havana Ducks. And they had a song, Operator, Operator, Put Me Through to Decatur. And so every time I hear about Decatur, I think of Pork and the Havana Ducks and Wild Nights at the Hangar 9 on the Strip in Carbondale.
Oh, Operator. Oh, you're Carbondale. You must have heard Big Twist in the Mellifont.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Operator, Operator.
Put me through to Decatur.
Yep. Okay.
Pork and the Havana Ducks. I see Tom hammering on the keyboard now, trying to figure it out.
Trying to find the song.
I didn't make it up, Tom.
No, actually, he was trying to find the 40-year rule buzzer, I think.
I haven't been out of college for 40 years, Andy.
Me neither.
I have.
Wow.
Wow.
This year, 40 years.
Yikes. Let me see.
Carry the one.
No, it's well less than 40 years.
Yeah.
Well less.
Not for me, it isn't.
Well, yeah.
I know. I'm the
But you didn't bring up the, you know, pork and the Havana ducks.
No.
True.
Which I'm going to wager this is the first time on Dean's show that reference has ever been made.
I would think it would be, yes.
I may be the only person who remembers pork and the Havana ducks. And now their album sales are skyrocketing on iTunes. I don't even know if they had it, you know.
On Pork Tunes.
And who knows? I could have been, you know, I may have had a beer or two back then. So
no,
I could be.
Come
I,
on,
I could be
that.
Off.
No.
You know?
Not you.
Not me.
Ryan.
I may have missed it. I think you said the temperature in Decatur
yes,
today.
Yes, clear skies, 14. Right now, they're
14
a little
degrees.
Cooler, a little chillier down there than we are.
Ooh, cover your soybeans, fellas.
That looking for a high today, pretty much what we're going to see, 32.
That would be well less than the uniform number worn by Sid Luckman for the Chicago Bears.
Bravo, Andy.
Do you have a guess at that one?
The number worn by Sid Luckman.
Mm-hmm. You said one number less?
No, I said it's
much less.
It's much more
so
than, it's much less than the number that he wore.
Oh,
73.
No, not quite that much.
42.
42.
Is that right?
Correct.
Wow.
42.
That was a quarterback number back then.
Yeah, really? That's not right. That's a running back number.
Correct.
Hmm.
Or
well,
DB.
He was doing all sorts of things back there, Sid Luckman.
Yes, he was.
Good for him. Good for him.
Well, there you have it.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and these are the stories that matter on 720 WGN. Just had to work that in there.
No, I know you did. 312-981-7200 is always the way you get a hold of us. There's a call coming. It could have been pork. Was it pork from Pork and the Havana Ducks, Tom?
No, but it was someone telling us that they do remember pork.
See? All right.
Operator.
Thank goodness.
You weren't imagining things. That's good.
Well, no. It could be one of those collective images where a number of people falsely remember the same thing. I'm spreading fake news. That's okay. What I do on a Sunday morning.
Operator, put me through to Decatur.
Yeah, see? I'm not as crazy as you all think.
Nice. When I get the time, I made it to you later. And I don't
girl's got a man on her mind. Opera, that's Pork and the Havana Ducks. First time I'm guessing you've heard that on WGN Radio. It's Brian Noonan in for Dean. Peg wants to jump in. She has a Pork and the Havana Ducks memory. Hi, Peg.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. Now, I'm better now that I've been proven not to be as insane as everybody here thought I was.
Yeah, I hear you.
So you saw Pork back in the day?
Oh, yeah. He was in my class.
Oh, really?
Class of 67, yeah.
Wow. So
Ron Stockert and Jerry Armstrong was Pork.
Okay.
And Ron Stockert was the piano player.
Now, were they playing music back then in school, during school? Yeah.
Yeah.
They were always a band. Did you ever envision them having the kind of regional fame that they ended up having?
No.
Because they were pretty big on the bar circuit early 80s. They were, you know, they played all over.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed them. So what was he like in school? Give us, now what we're going to do, this is like a, well, we'll call it an A-list interview. We're going to find out about Pork from Pork and the Havana Ducks. What was he like in school?
He was kind of quiet. I didn't really know him that well, but he was kind of quiet.
Okay.
And Ron was the piano player. He was really smart. He was a real smart guy, and he was kind of quiet, too.
Oh, that's because they were
they
plotting
music.
That was it. Wow. Well, Peg, thank you. What school was that they attended?
Havana High School.
Havana High School. Very nice.
Yeah.
Terrific. Well, thank you, Peg. Have a great day.
Okay. You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. There you go. See, Tom? You thought I was nuts.
I mean, I still think you're nuts.
Well, sure. But at least this actually existed. This wasn't like, hey, Andy, did you see my big white rabbit that was sitting out helping me prep the show?
As a matter of fact, I did.
Wow, then you are as crazy as I am. Good for you. So, was there any, when you guys were in school, now, where, Andy, where'd you go to school?
I went to Bradley.
Bradley. Yeah. So Peoria, also in that region, mm-hmm. was there a big band that would come through town that you had to go? Where were the places at Bradley to go? Was it downtown? Oh. Did you guys all go downtown?
No, we went out a little bit south of campus to the Lucky Lady Saloon.
Oh, I know where the Lucky Lady is, sure.
Which is no longer with us, I believe.
It's Farmington Road, right?
Yeah, Farmington Road, right by Bradley Park. And there was another little place called Rocky's Hitchin' Post, which is no longer there as well.
Yep.
And then we would hang at Jimmy's, because Jimmy's had a great special on Tuesday nights, $2 Long Island iced teas.
Wow.
Hey-o.
That makes Wednesday morning class iffy at best.
That meant saving up $10 and you could have a really good time.
Wasn't it beautiful in college that for $10 your night was made?
Oh, yeah. And it didn't really require much more than that.
No.
I mean, it was just, good friends and $10.
You know, and back when Dave was in school, it was, a nickel, and he was drinking for a month and a half.
Oh, you got beer for 2.5 cents.
Sure, it was phenomenal. Mine isn't that far away, Dave. I'm joking with you, but at one of the bars in Carbondale, they had progressive happy hour.
Ooh.
So you could start at 3 o'clock, and a quart of beer was a quarter. And of course, it was in a styrofoam cup. And it was kind of lukewarm, and you haven't lived till you've drunk beer out of a styrofoam cup. It is awful.
Yeah, we had
done that myself.
We had nickel beer night at the Lucky Lady, where you go to the door and buy a $2 cup, and then the rest of the beer was a nickel. So basically, we figured out it was always toward the end of the month.
Sure.
So they were getting rid of all the kegs that they couldn't get rid of, and mm-hmm. we found out it was Meisterbrau.
Listen, for a nickel, who cares?
But for a nickel, no one cared.
Exactly. In college, it doesn't matter. Tom,
I bet Tom does not remember Meisterbrau.
No.
No. Tom doesn't. Tom comes from a generation that was very responsible during his higher education.
Yeah.
And probably, mm-hmm. He was busy. While Andy and I and Dave were out on a Tuesday night enjoying some sort of concocted drink special, Tom was in the library.
Tuesday
furthering
night.
His
Monday
thesis.
Night.
Monday night, Tuesday night.
Yeah.
If there was a day that ended in Y,
exactly
there
right.
was a special at some sort of bar.
Usually is.
And I mean, where'd you go to school?
I went to Loyola.
Oh, okay.
So our closest thing to that kind of special was the Red Line Tap.
Ooh.
Over by the Heartland Cafe.
Yeah.
What about Hamilton's?
It's too sad that it's gone.
I know, it's a new bar now.
Well, now that bar is gone.
Yeah.
Bar 63, that's closed. Now, I'm a fan of, it was the Red Line Tap. They used to have Dollar Budweiser night.
Oh, that's a nice deal.
And I was like, yeah, it's Budweiser, it's not the best beer, it's not the worst beer, it's a little bit like purgatory.
It's the king of beers, Tom. I don't know who you're talking about. In case Anheuser-Busch is listening, mm-hmm. Brian Noonan at WGNRadio.com.
Well, I prefer the champagne of beers.
Oh, the high life, sure.
Yes, you put that in a little bit of orange juice, you got a beer mosa.
How about Bruno's? Ooh. Did you go to Bruno's?
Oh, of course I go
Bruno's. Good spot over there on Sheridan Road.
I'm pretty sure that's been there since the city was founded.
They built everything else around Bruno's.
Yeah, that's Rogers Park right mm-hmm. there.
Wow.
It's Bruno's. You got, their liquor section, it's part liquor store, part actual bar. I'm pretty sure that's open, pretty much all night.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's the best.
Those are the best kind of places. The
totally.
Places that have been there forever. There's mm-hmm. no pretense.
No.
And you just wander in and you know who's going to... Pretty much guess who's six of the seven people who are going to be sitting there. You've seen them there every
there's
day.
There's Norm and there's Cliff. And
right. and everybody just rolls in. It's funny, the places you mentioned, Andy, mm-hmm. I've been in. I tore a swath many times through Peoria.
Nice.
The jewel of the Midwest,
yeah.
of course.
And, Peoria was really good back then because, you could walk to those bars. It was
yes.
a little challenge to get up the hill on the on the way home.
I was going to say, that's kind of a hike down there.
Yeah. It was done a couple of times. Let's put it that way.
Sure. Well, why not? 4 years of stressful collegiate pursuits.
Exactly.
Matriculating on the Bradley campus. You need to take a break now and then and blow
absolutely
off some steam.
Right. Between that and trips to Avanti's, which for food there.
Oh.
The best food. And so good.
That's the first thing people will tell you when you get to Peoria. You mm-hmm. got to go to Avanti's.
Got to go to Avanti's. The bread is worth the trip.
Now, I like the one up near campus rather than the one down toward the mall.
Yeah, I lived at that one basically because it was right outside my dorm, and I really did not like the meal plan because I had to walk all the way over to Williams Hall, which was on the other side of campus. Real far campus, too.
I was going
to
say, that a block? Andy?
Yeah, exactly. Not even that. So I'd go down the back stairs and go to Avanti's and get a pepperoni pizza bread and a Coke for $1.65.
Wow. See, look at Tom.
What a world.
Tom thinking, oh, is the do I need the buzzer? No, this was not 40 years ago.
No, it's not 40
years. We used to be able to get things at value prices.
Yeah, this
again,
is the
mid-80s. Dave would get a pepperoni pizza bread and a Coke for 3 cents.
Yep. Yeah. Back you in get the two day. Pepperoni pizza breads.
Sure. It was, you know.
Although I had an issue with the local Domino's pizza at Ballston. You know, college kids sure. are notorious for having checks that bounce.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that.
So I was on the phone one evening to our local Domino's Pizza, and they said, may I have your dorm and room number and your name, please? Hmm. And I gave it to them. There was a pause on the phone. And the girl said, are you Dave Schwann? I said, yes. She said, how are you going to pay for this? And I said, well, typically I write you guys a check. You could get a huge pizza for $3.50 or something like that. She said, there's a note on the door here on the bulletin board that says, do not accept checks. So she said,
wow.
we will not show up unless you pay cash.
Deadbeat Dave Schwann.
So then I went down the hall collecting money from my friends.
See,
who writes a check for $3.50?
Back then,
That's what we did, man.
Tom, everybody wrote checks. Yeah. It was nonstop.
There were no ATMs.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just Venmo them? They didn't have Venmo?
No.
Wow. Chase QuickPay?
These kids today, I tell you.
Andy,
you don't know.
I don't understand them. Dave, we're with you. I'm not with you on the kiting checks.
Exactly.
I don't know what you were up to.
I think we would have had some fun at Pasquale's Pizza, Mr. B's, or Taco Tico.
Taco Tico.
Taco Tico.
I love Taco Tico. Right. That was fun. All right, we got to do this. Tom is upset, not only because Venmo did not exist back when we were in college, but because...
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either, Dave. My daughter tries to tell me,
why
don't we just Venmo you some money? I'm like, that sounds too shady. Listen, everybody who was on the Bitcoin bandwagon, Bitcoin's taking a huge... So I'm not trusting this Venmo. You want to pay me? I had this conversation with my producer, Cody. We're going to break, Tom. He was like, I'll Venmo you or PayPal you the money. I said, no, you know what you're going to do? You're going to hand me cash. That's how I know I actually have the money. You're going to hand me money.
And God, we trust all others pay cash.
Thank you, Andy. Brian Noonan in for Dean Richards on 720 WGN. Later tonight, Soldier Field, the Bears' number two ranked defense, facing off against the Los Angeles Rams' number two ranked offense. A battle of the Titans, the elite versus the rising stars in the Bears. You'll be able to hear the pregame and postgame with Hamp and OB and Kaz and this man, Mark Carmen, who joins Andy and I to break it down. With some hot takes and X's and O's. Good morning, Carm.
Brian, I'm here with so many hot takes, so many X's, so many O's.
You know I count on you to bring the hot takes, Carm. A lot of people say they have hot takes, but Carm is the... Andy, you know this. Carm is the man when it comes to hot takes.
I'd rather him bring hot cakes over here because I'm a little hungry.
Nice. Yeah, we're peckish this morning, Carm, so if you're out and about, you know, a little breakfast...
I've got something special for you today, Brian. I thought that it would really resonate with you that the Bears head coach, Matt Nagy, talked this week about what he was doing before he was the head coach of the Bears.
Yes.
And at one point, you know, he was a substitute teacher, and he said that the hardest class for him to teach, more specifically, was kindergartners because he couldn't get that eye contact. He couldn't get the respect. He couldn't control the classroom. He loved the third and fourth grader. He connected with the seventh and eighth grader, but he didn't get the kindergartners. And I don't know how that relates to tonight, but I feel like there's some part of that he's revealing that part of him. It shows that he's revealing himself more to the team. There's a higher level of connection with the guys, and that's why they're going to win tonight. What do you think?
I believe that is correct. He's showing some vulnerability. He's saying, listen, I don't know everything. There's places that I struggle, but I can make that connection. I can educate. If you listen to me, I will teach you how to be successful.
Right, and he added in Allen Robinson, arguably the Bears' best receiver, certainly their biggest, or one of their biggest free agent signings outside of Khalil Mack, but certainly the biggest free agent receiver signing. He's building that bond. Robinson's been coming up to him saying, hey, I can beat this guy here. He trusts his guy. They run the play. More trust is built. The team's getting better over time. And you know, tonight is tonight's showtime, the Super Bowl game for the Bears.
And he is correct. Kindergarten kids will wear you out. nonstop. All right, the big question, gentlemen. Mitchell coming back today after a couple weeks off. They said 3 days in practice. He's been throwing hard, doing well. 2 weeks, not a lot of time for rust to build up. But what are we going to be watching for early in this game when Mitchell Trubisky comes back out on the field?
I mean, I don't know how Andy feels about it, but it is a point of concern for me. It's, you know, this is a guy in his second season. He's not, you know, Tom Brady in year 7,000. He needs reps, and to be missing for 2 weeks, I do think that can have an impact on tonight. And the thing is, they're not playing the Arizona Cardinals. They're playing the Los Angeles Rams. So they're going to need a great game from Trubisky, and he's got to also feel comfortable that that shoulder's okay, because people talk about, well, he shouldn't run as much. Running's one of the good things he does. Mm-hmm. I don't think you want to take that away from him. I think he's got to use the talent that he has, and getting away from the rush and picking up first downs that way, that's one of the good things about Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, my concern, Carm, is the accuracy that he developed over the previous 3 or 4 weeks leading up to the injury was some of the best throwing he's done. And now you're out for a couple weeks. Timing's a little off with the receivers and that kind of thing kind of can't creep in there. I'm just wondering if today is finally the day that the Bears establish a run game.
I wanted to ask you about that, because Jordan Howard has been, we haven't seen him too much. The Rams notoriously weak in their run defense, so are we going to see more Jordan Howard today?
It's hard to know, right? Because even when Jordan Howard gets going, it's like he'll pick up 6 yards on a carry, and then the next play he's on the bench and Taequann Mizell is out there. I mean, it's just kind of bizarre to me.
Yeah, what's the deal?
I think Matt Nagy, this is not, he's, Jordan Howard doesn't exactly fit the way that in his mind he wants to run the football. So it's, at least to this point, he would never say this, but it just, I don't think it's the ideal fit. So in the biggest game of the year, are they going to all of a sudden develop his run game? I don't think that's going to be the case. I think you'll see some of it. You know, some Jordan Howard, but mostly the Bears are going to have to do this to the air. And there'll be a lot of, you know, short 5, 6, 7 yard passes, which is in essence a run.
That's their run game.
At least, right, that's their run game. So, but I don't think the Bears are going to all of a sudden reinvent the run game tonight.
All right, so the defense played all right last week. You know, that's the highlight of the team, but then they give up the big OT touchdown play. Goff, the Rams quarterback, last week under a lot of pressure in Detroit, had one of his worst games. What's going to be the key for the Bears defense to keep him back on his heels and maybe try to pull that back, because the Rams running game is strong? So how do they shut down Jared Goff?
You're just not going to shut him down. You just don't let him go for 54 like they did to beat Kansas City in one of the great games of the year, beat the Chiefs 54-51. Look, Vic Fangio's system should. You listen to a lot of these hierarchs here, Brian, the big time guys who are really in the film room. They think that what Fangio does matches up well with the Rams. So, hopefully, in my mind, if you hold the Rams somewhere below their average, which is 35 points a game, if you keep them in the 20s, and Trubisky has a great game, and everybody else does too, for that matter, you know, you're not turning the ball over. Somebody's not making a catch and fumbling, or, you know, running the football, fumbling, turning the ball over. That, to me, is the formula for the Bears to win.
And, you know, I think, it goes into every game plan, surely, that the front seven have to get some extra pressure on Goff and not let him feel comfortable in the pocket. But now it's a situation, too, where you've got to really depend on those defensive backs to contain their coverage, because they've got a lot of guys that can go out into coverage through the Rams. Yeah.
So you know, the defense is going to have to play as they've been playing all year. Let's look at the O-line, which over the last few seasons has always been a question mark. This year they've been given either Trubisky or Chase Daniel a lot of time to do things in the backfield. Now they're coming up against Aaron Donald, who's, you know, an MVP. He's leading the league in sacks. The guy's an animal. Are we going to see the line change? That's my hot take.
He is an
animal. Come on, he's an animal, Carm. Isn't that what you sports guys say? That's how you describe him? He's an animal? Guy's a monster?
16 and a half sacks makes you an animal in NFL terms. Yes,
of course, he is an animal.
He's so, no Danimal, but he's an animal.
Oh, well, he's, yeah. Who is? There's only one.
Very true.
Only one of those, Andy. And Carm sits across from him and gets threatened by him every week. first of all, Carm, between Hamp and OB, I worry for you a lot. But we'll leave that to a private conversation off air if you need an order of protection or if you need to reach out to somebody. But is the line going to change things up at all to adjust for this? Is there going to be any sort of stunting? What's going to happen to give Mitch some time?
Well, so Aaron Donald in his 16 and a half sacks.
I hear he's an animal.
Yeah, well, he's super strong, and he's also super fast. And the Bears' offense, I think this is the biggest concern of the game here, Brian. I don't trust that the Bears are going to be able to protect Trubisky and give him time. So, nor run the football consistently. So, this is where I don't know what they're cooking up for Aaron Donald. And, by the way, Ndamukong Suh, I'm sure Bears fans remember, at least from his Lions days, he liked to eat quarterbacks, too. So it's not just one guy. This is a major, major challenge for the Bears tonight. And their makeshift offensive line, it's where you miss Kyle Long tonight. You wish that James Daniels had more experience, all that. So, Brian Witzman. This is not a great matchup for the Bears tonight.
So a lot of people are predicting it to be a close game. Most of the pundits, most of the people who deal in hot takes are saying the Rams are going to win. I'll leave it to you two to give us your final hot takes with your predictions.
Go, Andy.
Go for it, Carmel. I heard your prediction last night, but I'm wondering if you're sticking to it.
What did I say? They lose by three touchdowns?
Three touchdowns, yeah.
Three touchdowns?
Yeah. I changed by the moment here.
I know. That's why I asked the question. I wondered.
You're not going to stand by a 21-point defeat, Carm?
That was slightly tongue-in-cheek because everybody else was picking the Bears. I'm like, all right, fine. I got them losing by three touchdowns. You guys are nuts. I do think that this is a little bit too tall of a test right now. I do like the weather factor for the Bears tonight. I do like the fact that it's more of, the Rams don't quote unquote need this game. The Bears are, this is a lot bigger for the Bears than it is for LA. So that's, the Bears are at home. There's all that, but I still think the Rams are just a better football team. So let's just make it one touchdown. I'll take the Rams.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the Aaron Donald effect here as well, because before Khalil Mack signed his big money mega deal with the Bears, Donald was the number one paid defender in the history of the NFL, and that lasted all of about 2 weeks until the Bears got Khalil Mack.
We'll show you.
Yeah, so I think he may have a little something to prove out there. I don't feel as good about this game as I have felt in recent games. I know it's a Sunday night game. I know the Bears are at home. I don't buy into the weather thing as much, perhaps, but I do think that the Rams are going to score some points, and I think it's going to be like a 35-30 kind of game with the Rams prevailing.
Wow, and I'll go Rams by 10. That's my call. A little worse than Carm's beat down, but not as bad as his earlier prediction of the Bears losing by 21. Maybe that was just you were thinking about sitting across from the boys today. Your pregame is at 3, is that correct? And then your postgame is sometime at 10:30.
Right, 3 to 4:30, taking up to the Hawks, and then we'll be on after the game.
Fantastic.
I'm dead.
All right. Well,
or midnight, whichever comes first.
Yeah, you'll just be all Bears all the time. All right, Carm. Well, it is a pleasure. Don't burn yourself on those hot takes.
Brian, thanks for having me. Enjoy the game tonight. It should be. It's good to have the Bears relevant in the city. I think that's
true. Definitely true.
No
Carm,
doubt,
always
right?
A pleasure. We will talk to you soon, and you can hear Mark Carman with Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich, and Glenn Kozlowski with the pregame at 3 o'clock here on WGN, and then their postgame analysis after the game. Yes. He's been very patient, and I apologize to Mark Hamernick. We're getting to him a little late. We were dealing at hot takes on the Bears game. It's not going to be hot at Soldier Field tonight, is it, Mark?
It's no problem at all, Brian.
Mike, sorry.
It's too cold to go outside anyway, so I'm
is
not
it?
Going anywhere. it's chilly out there.
It is very cold. Everything was covered in ice this morning, Mike.
Yeah,
and
thick frost. Absolutely. It was 8 in single digits this morning in some of the suburbs, 8 above in West Chicago. The temperature range was from the single digits west to 22 in the loop, so yeah, it was frigid out there. And it's going to be cold at Soldier Field tonight. 27 for a kickoff temperature. The one big break we're going to get is the wind. Not much wind tonight. We haven't had much wind all weekend long, and that will continue today and into tonight. Expecting a northwest wind around 3 miles per hour. So the kicking game won't have any impact on the kicking game. At least the wind won't, but temperatures might. That football is going to be awfully cold.
I was going to say it's going to be hard as a rock.
Right, right. And if you ever tried kicking a football, you know, when it's 70 degrees versus when it's 27, there's a huge difference.
Yeah, not a lot of give in that in that pigskin when it's 20 degrees.
Yeah, it stings the toe a little bit more. So, yeah, cold night, but if you're sitting in the stands, not much wind. Temperature starting at 27, falling to about 24 by the end of the game. Hopefully by then we'll have a Bears victory.
Let's hope.
And, yeah, it's a cold stretch here in Chicago, but we're missing out on the big storm. We've had two big weekend storms the last two weekends. This one's storm-free, at least for us. So the big storm passed to our south. Houston, heavy rain, and now North Carolina is getting buried under about a foot of snow, at least portions of North Carolina.
Yeah, this has been a crazy couple weeks. We've been below average temperatures for the last couple weeks. Are we going to see an end to that anytime soon, or are we going to stay below average for the foreseeable future?
Nothing major. Later this week, we're going to break out of it with temperatures closer to the upper 30s, which by then will be a couple of degrees above normal. So yeah, by the end of the week, we'll have warmer nights and somewhat milder days.
Okay.
And that's probably a good thing because we have a system approaching on Wednesday night and Thursday that's going to bring some precip. Right now, it looks like a wintry mix, rain type of deal. That's probably going to be the two primary precipitation types, not necessarily snow. So with temperatures at or above the freezing mark, a lot of it isn't going to stick. So good news on that front. And I think overnight lows will probably stay at or below above freezing when the precip is occurring. So I think we'll avoid any serious icing or snow as it looks at this point. But that period we're looking at Wednesday through Friday. Until then, still quiet. Today, tonight, and Tuesday, tomorrow and Tuesday. And then Wednesday, things begin to go downhill with that storm approaching for the west.
Now, is this one of those big storm fronts that they're experiencing now? And as you mentioned, the Carolinas and stuff, or is this just
No, it's
nothing
not,
to worry about.
It's not as big. It doesn't look like it's going to be a major player for us here in Chicago. So it doesn't look as big as the last couple of systems. Minor. We're not getting any big precip numbers off our computer models. Looks like about a quarter of an inch or less. System's going to be moisture starved because this high pressure system that's over us right now is delivering this very chilly air. It extends all the way from Canada to Mexico, and we're talking Mexico, almost all the way down to Cancun. It is that massive, so it's hard to get moisture on the backside of it when it's washed out all the moisture across the Gulf of Mexico. So the precip return ahead of this next storm system won't be very impressive, so that will hold the rain or snow totals down.
All right, so we're good up until Wednesday, and then things could go downhill a little bit for a couple days.
Right, and slowly moderating temperatures, 34 today, 37 tomorrow, and then 38, 39 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and maybe 40 next Saturday.
Ooh.
So if you still haven't put the lights up,
Saturday.
You don't want to freeze your fingers off. There's a little light at the end of the tunnel there.
All right, Mike, you like to predict the weather. Do you like to predict football?
I do. I'm not usually very good at it as I am at weather, but I'll throw out a number.
All right, let's hear it.
35-31 Bears.
Wow. Mike Hamernick, one of the few people picking the Bears. Good for you, Mike.
Yeah, I'm diehard. So.
Listen, you gotta have some homers in the crowd who are gonna pick the team no matter what. We appreciate that, Mike. Always good to talk
all right,
to you.
Guys, thanks,
thank
Brian.
You very much. We'll talk to you soon, Mike Hamernick. You can watch him on WGN TV doing the weather. We got to do this. Then we are going to talk to Angela Grovey. She is one of the cast members of the hilarious "The Play That Goes Wrong" playing now at the Oriental Theater. We'll talk to Angela after the news on WGN. It's This Week in Theater on the Dean Richards Show. Brian Noonan in for Dean today, and I am so excited to welcome into the studio Angela Grovey, who plays Annie in The Play That Goes Wrong, which is, listen, I'm going to stress this many times. You only have a week left to see this show. It is at the Oriental Theater. Go to BroadwayInChicago.com to get your tickets, because especially during the holidays when you can get stressed out, this is a show that will lighten your load. You will laugh from start to finish. It is unbelievable. Welcome and welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations. This is unbelievable.
Thank you.
I had a ball.
Good, good. We love to hear that.
It was so much fun. Let's give people the conceit of the show, because what is the play that goes wrong about?
Okay, so you will enter the theater and watching a group of the Cornley Acting Company. We are trying to put on the Murder at Haversham Manor.
Ooh.
And throughout the evening, you might see some things go wrong. And you watch us try and give you that same murder mystery at any cost. We literally will do anything to get to the end of the show.
And Annie is the stage manager, prop master, kind of a gal Friday for the entire company.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Annie is the local stage manager. We're a non-union group, so we have to wear lots of hats, as you can only imagine.
Right.
But I am forced to do, I think, every stage manager's worst nightmare to save the show. But
yes.
We are all hands on deck. We're going to get to the end of this murder mystery.
And I'm trying to think of ways not to give certain things away, but the show begins before the curtain actually goes up. Would
yes.
that be a fair
yes.
abstract way to put
yes.
things?
Yes. There's a pre-show. Mm-hmm. There's a pre-show. There's a little bit of something that happens at intermission.
Mm-hmm.
The Mischief Company that created this, they love to put little nuggets all around. So if you're coming to the show, I would say get there 15 minutes before curtain, and you might get to see some insides.
It's very funny, and it's one of those sometimes a comedy will start out a little slow, and the comedy will build. The comedy here started from before the curtain went up.
Yes.
And to say that it peaks at the end with a disaster of epic proportions, I don't think, again, is giving anything away. But anybody, and maybe you'll agree with this, anybody who's ever been in any kind of production, whether it was high school, college, any sort of production, is going to empathize and sympathize with every character in this show.
Absolutely. So it's very funny because a lot of times people will say to us, oh my gosh, I've experienced the same thing.
Yeah.
This happened to me in my college production or my high school production for Act One. And then Act Two, they come back and they say, that's never happened.
Right.
I think that people can really sort of connect to it because things go wrong in life.
Right.
And I think that that is the part that is what connects people to this show, is that you're watching a group of people who love their jobs so much and they really are eager to put this on, but they get into some sticky situations.
Right.
But I think that that's the thing that connects people to this piece.
Well, and whereas some of the characters get frustrated as the production goes on, Annie does not. She seems unaffected by this. It's a little exasperated that things are going wrong, but she is truly a trooper.
Yes. I think that for me, Angela, the actor, having a good journey, I think in any part that you're playing is important. And I think that that also helps you sustain for long runs. And I think that Annie has the biggest journey in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because she starts from one thing and then at the end, she blossoms into a completely new thing. But I think you can watch every character blossom on that stage and go through their journey to get to the end of the show.
Now, you've done Broadway, obviously, before you were in Escape to Margaritaville,
yes.
Which I saw when it was here, which was a lot of fun, another
yeah.
fun show. You've been in Leap of Faith, Radio City's Christmas Spectacular. Is this your first foray into really broad physical comedy?
Yes. This is my first time doing a play,
okay.
Even. And so I feel nervous and excited to be doing it in Chicago. You know, I went to school here.
Yes.
And I wear my Chicago education very proudly. I think that there is something about Chicago actors that is different than West Coast actors, East Coast actors.
What is it, do you think?
I just think it's...
You're here. You can talk up Chicago actors. We don't care about the coast.
I think that it's just different. one of my favorite acting teachers, Ted Hurl, directed Arcadia at Pegasus, and I saw it on Monday, and I literally was watching those actors and I was thinking, I can hear him coaching them just yeah. like he coached me when I was in school. And I feel that way about my education here in my Chicago roots. Nice. I just feel that that's something that's constantly flowing through me as an actor, and I'm so proud of it. So to be able to unveil this here, I don't know, it just, I'm really excited to be back here.
Well, it's talking about your Chicago roots, you studied at Roosevelt University, yeah. and you did theater here, and then obviously the next step is to go to New York.
Yes.
So when you went to New York, What was it like to adapt to it? Because as you said, it's a difference in actors. It's a difference in, I'm guessing, pressures.
Yes.
And because that's, you know, that's Broadway.
Right.
That's where everything's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was very different because I worked when I was here. So I worked at a lot of the musical theater houses here, mm-hmm. which was great. And I got to understudy people like Felicia Fields and Ife Butler, who I still look up to. But then it was time for me to sort of find my own way.
Yeah.
And so I found myself working at a lot of regional theaters when I first moved to New York, which was excellent for me because I got to develop in a different way and like play different parts that I might not be able to play in New York.
Okay.
So that was really good. And then I would say maybe in the last like 5 to 7 years, I have really sort of settled into, I feel like the industry sort of getting to know what I do. And that has been really exciting for me. That's sort of opened more television and film things for me.
Yeah.
But also I think that it makes for me to be an interesting person to have in your theatrical experience because I feel like I'm a little more comfortable in my skin now
yeah.
than I was 10 years ago.
Well, and it's, I mean, we'll talk about what you do because as you said, once people start to know what you do, but then you change it up because you mentioned this is the play that goes wrong is your first play
yeah.
and your first time at broad physical slapstick comedy. So when you're constantly evolving, that's got to keep everybody, oh, we know Angela Grover. Yeah, she does this. Oh, wait, no, she does this. It's, you know, it's great, and it's got to be frustrating at times, too, to go, no, I can do that.
Right,
just because you haven't seen me do it, I can do this.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, I think that that's, the if you look at the sort of group that's in this company, like 60% of us do musical theater mostly. Okay. So to be able to given this opportunity to do a play, I think is huge for us. And to be able to play markets like Chicago, yeah. where there are people that are going to see us and maybe they will let us come and play with them and
there
not think that we just do musicals. So it's a great opportunity for us as actors also to spread our wings.
Angela Grovey is with me. She plays Annie in the play That Goes Wrong. It is now through December 16th. So next Sunday, the last day you can see this hilarious play. It's at the Oriental Theater. Go to BroadwayInChicago.com to get your tickets. I want to talk to you when we come back because you did an Instagram takeover yesterday, and there was something I learned that should be an inspirational tale for every struggling actor in this city and every other city.
Okay.
So we will talk about that more with Angela on the other side. It's WGN. It's Brian Noonan in for Dean Richards on Sunday morning, and it is This Week in Theater. I am very happy to welcome into the studio Angela Grovey. She plays Annie in The Play That Goes Wrong. Trust me when I tell you, if you like comedy, you need to go see this. And I do, you know, I'm not a critic by any chance. I'm just a guy who likes to go to the shows, and then I talk about them. And Angela, I don't know if you want to tell the rest of the cast, this got 4 bow ties out of 4 bow ties.
Woo-hoo!
When I talked about it, because it's, you know, people like, some people give thumbs up, some give thumbs down. I always wear a bow tie when I go to the theater because I'm classy that way.
You're classy.
Despite my appearance this morning, I dress it up for the theater. So it was a lot of fun. And even people, my producer, not Tom, but my producer on my other show, his wife said, I'm not a big slapstick fan,
mm-hmm.
but she loved the show.
Yeah.
And if you have a funny bone, you're going to love The Play That Goes Wrong. So it's a lot of fun. Now, I mentioned before we went to the break, you did an Instagram takeover yesterday, which Broadway in Chicago has been doing for the last couple shows.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. You have a story. You mentioned that you went to school here at Roosevelt. You
mm-hmm.
studied and you worked theater here.
Yes.
But you did more than just work theater here. you actually may have sold people popcorn at
yes.
one point if they went to a Broadway in Chicago production.
Yes. So I am a part of the Broadway in Chicago family. I was a bartender
really?
Out of school. So I, as an actor, you know,
You got to work.
You're like, I have to work. And so in between jobs, I was like, what can I do? So I was like, well, clearly I could be a bartender. My mom was like, So I went to bartending school. And then I had a friend who was already working in management at Broadway in Chicago. And was like, oh, wait, why don't you maybe think about this? Because the hours aren't as late as regular bars.
Yes, exactly.
So that you can be up and ready for auditions and things like that. And I was like, great. So I spent a couple of years going from theater to theater working. I would work the VIP room a lot.
Oh.
I'm very fancy.
You are fancy.
Very fancy. Yesterday, I took some pictures with some of the bartenders, yeah. And I was even asking them if they used the same piece of paper to count in and count out. And they were like, yeah. I was like, we were doing that a while ago.
Wow.
But it just, like, I just love how full circle it is.
Yeah.
That, like, me listening to, I can remember Hairspray going on when I was bartending and just, like, dreaming about, like, oh, that's, I love this. I love being in the theater. I love being a part of it. And to be able to come back to a theater that I was once upon a time bartending at and be able to be on stage is just, I don't know, it's a beautiful, like, full circle, like,
yeah.
Magical moment.
It's, I can't imagine. And it's one of those things, anybody who's achieved a dream can understand what that feels like.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every actor is like, one of these days, I'm gonna make it to the big show.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Now here you are.
But I would still come back and bartend any day at Broadway in Chicago.
Well, listen, you're done with this run on next Sunday. Maybe you never know what's happening over the holidays. So is it a challenge to come in to a town, especially a place that you've been before, and this is, you know, and do a 2-week run? Because that's a pretty short amount of time to be in a city.
It's a short run. The challenge. I think the challenge of any show is that you have to learn your market.
Yeah.
And we have to do that while doing the same consistent show.
Right.
But I think a great testament of how powerful this show is that it works no matter what. It is so good on paper,
right,
that you just have to, every actor has to listen and respond. And our audiences might respond differently, but we just learn that.
Okay.
And then we take that information. We still do the same consistent show,
mm-hmm,
but we now have a little more information after like a day,
okay,
which is nice. And Chicago has been, you guys are a town like no other. We're like, can we stay here for even longer? Please, please, please. It's
great.
Way
to butter up the crowds.
Well,
I
hey,
like
you guys are fancy.
So what kind of things make the Chicago audiences different than you did this show on? Were you in the Broadway?
I was not.
You was not. So what makes it different here than doing a show in New York or doing a show at some of the other regional places that you've been?
So I think number wise, we're talking about like regional houses.
Right.
Like you might have like 800 people. And the Broadway company, I think they play for under 1,000. Okay. This theater is over 2,200 people.
Yeah, this is a big house
for
this show.
It's a huge space. And so there's a thing which now we're having to take into account, which is the rolling laughter.
Yeah.
So something might happen in the orchestra that doesn't hit the balcony for a few seconds later.
Right.
And so it causes an effect, a wave effect that happens. And we as the actors have to allow for that to settle,
yeah,
which is really, really interesting. And so we've gotten some laughs here in Chicago that like literally stop our show. And we're like, okay, now we go.
Yes, and you can see the not that you're breaking character or anything, but it's like, okay, we have to just everybody freeze for a second.
Yep.
Let it hit the back and come back to us, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, it's really like, I feel like this show has really just honed in all of our skills in,
yeah,
terms of like listening and engaging and improv and like it just like it's a dance that we do. Like I say to everyone who comes and sees this show, buckle up and be prepared to work.
Yeah.
In a good way. It's a fun conversation that we have, and we want you to have just as much fun as we are having on that stage.
And there is some breaking of the third wall throughout the show. I will not give any of that away because it's a crucial part of the program. How sore are you guys after a performance? Because, like I said, there's a lot of physical comedy, and Annie, she gets thrown out a window. Annie goes through a lot of things during the course of this show.
It's definitely the most physical role I've ever done. But we have a big box of physical therapy equipment that we travel, and we get to work with physical therapists here in every city. So, yeah, twice a week, we have people coming in and pushing and prodding and pulling and resetting things. But self-care is something that we are really learning to hone in on.
Well, it is a great cast and a great show. Where do you go next? So the Play That Goes Wrong ends its run in Chicago on Sunday, and then?
We're off to D.C. for 3 weeks and Toronto for five, and then down a little more of the East Coast. So we're booked right now until September of next year.
Holy cow. Obviously, as an actor, you want that kind of consistency. It's got to be hard to be on tour that long.
There are challenges, but you know, you always weigh the pros and cons before you agree to do a job, and the pros outweighed the cons heavily. And so I'm excited to like send some laughter out into this country. I'm excited about that.
We definitely need it. Is there anybody in the cast you're like, I can't believe I'm on tour with this person for the next six months.
And that's not a lie. I promise you that is, we actually really, really love each other. We were off for Thanksgiving week, and we were like texting each other in our group text because we genuinely like each other.
Well, it's a very small cast. There's eight people in the cast. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't, and with this kind of production, if there's any sort of rift, it's gonna show, because you guys are on with each other nonstop.
Yeah, there are eight of us that you see in the company that you see every day, and then we have four understudies.
Okay,
and so two of them you see every night, and then they switch back and forth.
Oh, are they the ones that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we're very, very close, because those four people actually have the hardest job because they cover all of us.
Oh, geez.
So some of the guys I think know like three and four tracks. And so
there's a lot of dialogue.
There's a lot of physical stuff. And so they're the superheroes of our company.
Well, and with those physical cues, they have to be precise, because somebody could get hurt pretty easily.
Truly.
Yes. Well, it was a pleasure meeting you. And again, congratulations. The Play That Goes Wrong is playing now through next Sunday at the Oriental Theater. Go to BroadwayInChicago.com. You can follow Angela all over, at Angela Grovey on Twitter, AngelaGrovey.com. You can see Angela for another week here in Chicago. And then you're off to far-flung corners of the universe, playing Annie and so much more. Have a great holiday season. And thank you so much for coming in. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. All right, we have got to do this, and then, oh my goodness, afterwards, after the news, we're going to talk a little holiday decoration madness, so all that coming up on WGN. Some Christmas music. Are you in the Christmas spirit, Tom? You don't look Christmas like you're enjoying the Christmas music, even though you played it.
I'm working on it, Brian.
When do you foresee it kicking in? Because we all have a time when the holiday spirit kicks in. For me, it hasn't happened yet, because the house is not done being decorated.
Okay.
So once that is done and I can relax, that's when I let the Christmas and holiday spirit wash over.
Sure, it makes sense. You get the nog out.
Oh, I gotta nog it up.
You gotta hit the nog.
Are you a brandy or a rum nog guy? Probably. Or are you a non-nogger?
I'm not much for nog. I would probably go brandy, because I feel like brandy is there's something special. There's a regality to it.
Yes. Oh, it even sounds better.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the the traditional way. I was not a nog guy until, I don't know, maybe in the last decade. I've come to appreciate a nice nog, I'm looking forward to that. But again, I can't appreciate it too much, because calorically, Tom, nog not good for you.
It's like mayonnaise.
Everything at this time of year is not good for you.
I know, but that's the best part. I would say that's how I get into the spirit, is like once the food starts happening.
Sure.
Once the cookies and the treats and maybe not pepper. I'm not a huge peppermint, but peppermint bark.
I love peppermint bark.
Super good.
See, and this is the time of year, peppermint's in everything. It's like in the coffee, fall, where it's pumpkin spice, and then it turns into peppermint time.
I don't even imagine. I don't know what we would do the rest of the year. You know, you've got pumpkin spice for fall. You've got peppermint for winter. Where's spring? What's summer? I guess
summer doesn't matter. Summer is just anything you want. Watermelon, a nice brisk walk on the beach. Summer you don't have to find your enjoyment in your beverage. You can just walk outside and find your enjoyment.
True.
You don't have to go, at least I have a nice latte with some pumpkin in it. It's cold and dreary. No, suddenly I'm Eeyore. So that's when it kicks in for me. And I, even in the car, I can't, if a Christmas song comes on, I can't listen to it yet. I don't know. I'm not a bah humbug. I'm not against the holidays. I'm looking forward to the holidays taking over. But right now, still kind of, that's because, well, here's a question, first of all, and then we'll get into a conversation. Would you buy your Christmas tree online, a live tree, well, it's not live anymore, it's dead, but a real tree, would you buy a real tree online without taking a look at it? 312-981-7200. And I have the results and an answer to that question in a minute. We have begun our descent back into Christmas madness. In our old house, we had way too many Christmas trees. And so when we moved to our new house, which was smaller, and we downsized, we said, you know what, we can downsize Christmas as well. We can go from, you know, five trees to maybe two trees or three trees. So for the last few years, we've had two full-size trees and then one of those three-foot trees, like a crazy glitter tree, and this little pop-up thing. And then my daughter has one of those tiny trees in her room. So I guess that still sounds crazy. When I enumerate how we downsized, it still sounds insane. But last year, as we were trying to, we used to have a family room that was very large, and we had a 9-foot tree in there.
Jeez.
So, yeah, it was crazy. So then when we downsized, we, in the family room, or the living room up in the front window, we had a nice tree. And then down in the basement where we spend most of our time sitting around, watching TV and whatever, we had a smaller tree, like 6.5, 7 foot. And we tried to jam everything from the 9-foot tree onto this 7-foot tree. So you couldn't see anything. Everything was, there were too many lights. There were too many ornaments. Everything was jammed on there. It was like Christmas threw up on this tree. So last year we said, oh, I jokingly said to my wife, you know what we need down here? We need a white tree to put all these kind of tropical ornaments that we have on. You know, we've got a lot with Santa as, dressed as a hula dancer and flamingos surfing and all these wild beach-themed Christmas ornaments. So I jokingly said, hey, we got to get a white tree. Well, guess what we have in the basement now? A 7-foot white tree right across. So our TV is framed by a 7-foot green tree, and on the other side is now a 7-foot white tree that is all tropical themed.
You know what I'm going to get you for Christmas?
Therapy?
Yeah.
Please.
Some help.
Yeah. It's, it's insane. So now this is not, I know when I say we have all these trees, you're thinking, he must live in some palatial estate. No, I don't. I live in a small house, which is fine. And yet, when you walk into it after today, when everything hopefully is finished, when you walk into it, there is literally, you're walking into a Christmas fever dream. There is stuff everywhere.
It's my favorite kind of fever dream.
Well, if you have to have a fever dream, a Christmas one
might
is
as well
it.
Be.
So it's to the point where, and I'm sure a lot of people do this, and please tell me share your holiday decorating insanity with me, because I don't want to feel, just like I didn't want to feel that I was the only one who knew pork and the Havana ducks, I don't want to feel that I am the only one who is going through this at home, where you look at what the holidays have wrought to your home, and you think to yourself, I need help. I need an intervention. I need someone to say, you know what? One tree is probably good. And okay, if you have two floors in your house and maybe you want one in the front window and you spend a lot of time downstairs in your family room, okay, we could see maybe a second tree down there if you spend a lot of, but you don't need 5, 6 trees in your house.
No.
No. I don't live at the North Pole. Despite the color of my beard, I am not Santa Claus. But it's just, we're now, as we take the things out to put up, we have to box up half the house in the Christmas boxes that we're emptying so we have room for the Christmas stuff. And then we'll have, it's like we're moving. Every time the holidays come, it's like we're relocating because everything is boxed up. And it's like, oh, look, we're Department 57 at Macy's. And then in 3 weeks, and people say, why do you leave it? Because I'll leave it up till like the second week of January.
Ooh, I don't know how I feel about that.
I have to. I've spent so much time getting it out. Yeah. And that, I didn't count the little Charlie Brown tree in my office or, you know, various sundry trees.
Is that like your memento mori? Is like a little dead tree instead of a skull?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't.
You look
really.
At you look at the little Charlie Brown tree. You're like, yeah, no, this is how bad it can get. And then you're surrounded by big trees,
right? And then I have to walk out and go, whew, thank goodness it's not this. Thank goodness my entire world is not just this. I can go out into a Christmas wonderland, and then you know. And the biggest worry every year, and pet owners know this, is that your pets are going to turn on your trees because you confuse them. You know. The only place my dog sees a tree is outside, and there's only one thing he does on it. Well, suddenly I've brought the tree to him. And he's like, hey, now, wait a minute. And
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, the older dog is like, no, you can't do that. But the younger one is like, why? He brought it in. It's cold outside. I don't know. I don't want to go outside. Now I can just take care of things in the house, which is not conducive to holiday cheer.
Or hardwood flooring.
Or an area rug or carpeting or a towel or anything. There's nothing that puts a damper, no pun intended, on the holiday than your dog thinking they're outside when they're inside. Andy, do you decorate your bachelor pad at all? Do you put any sort of holiday decorations up?
I do not, because my holiday is wrapped up, or is wrapping
right.
up today.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if
so,
you put
no,
up...
No, we don't do much of that.
You don't have a menorah? You don't have any?
Yeah, I have a menorah. That's not okay. Really a decoration. It's more of just...
Well, religious
it's
symbol.
Practical.
Sure.
Yeah,
you know. Oh, it's practical. Sure, because then you can save on electricity for
exactly.
8 days.
Exactly. I like, you know, especially on the eighth night, you know,
oh,
tonight,
yeah.
I can just, you know,
fire
turn
up.
Off all the lights,
right,
you know,
right.
Turn the heat off, you know, just...
How big are your candles?
I'm just kidding.
Andy's got this giant menorah with blowtorches coming
exactly.
out of the top of it.
I was just remembering back to my childhood when my brother and I each had our own little one, and it was like little birthday candles in there. That was the size of the candle.
That's nice. So you had a big one, like a main family one,
yeah.
And then
my
you
brother
have your
and I
own?
Each had one, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I wish I still had them.
Can't you find some?
They're probably in a box in my parents' basement somewhere.
That sounds like a project.
Yeah,
sounds
I think
like
it might be a project.
A big adventure to go down there and excavate.
Exactly.
And try to find the buried treasure.
Exactly. But you know what? I really appreciate the houses that decorate and really kind of go all nine yards on it because
yeah.
it's very festive. I mean, it doesn't even matter that I don't celebrate. It's just it's part of the season.
It looks
you know, it's
pretty,
cool.
doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice. It kind of brightens up the neighborhood a little bit. And yeah, I see people actually putting a whole lot of effort into things. And I love it. I walk around every once in a while and just kind of take pictures of the houses and stuff.
It does add something, and it brightens up an otherwise dreary neighborhood
yeah.
and a dreary time of year.
Especially, you know, the day's getting shorter, and, you know, it gets darker so much earlier, and the lights come on, and you're like, oh, cool, lights are on. All right,
yeah,
awesome.
And that's it. I mean, it doesn't matter what holiday you celebrate.
Absolutely.
Walking down the street with all these festive lights, you go, oh, this is pretty.
You know, and it's just, it's a total season, you know, it's the
yes.
holiday season. It's not,
right.
It doesn't matter, you know, what religion you are or what you celebrate. It's just,
exactly.
it's just the kind of the season. It's festive.
Well, and a lot of, you know, most of the big religions, we're all celebrating
yeah.
something in this
exactly.
month together. So
exactly.
let's enjoy it. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in on our holiday decorations. And I will give you the results of the question. Would you buy an online or a real tree online without even seeing it? Something that I saw on the trip today, a little bit surprising. We'll get to all of that after this. It's WGN. Brian Noonan in for Dean. We're talking about holiday decorations. The madness has escalated again at my house. And people are buying live trees online. Fewer than 3%, though, of the 24.7 million real Christmas trees purchased in the U.S. last year were bought online. That according to a consumer survey by the National Christmas Tree Association. Who knew? Real trees outnumbered the 21.1 million artificial trees sold. Those sales of artificial trees grew from 2016. So I could not buy a real tree online. I go back to the days of going either to the tree lot. We never went and cut down our own tree, but we would go every year. It was a big thing, and everybody would load into the car and we'd go look for the tree. And my mom and dad were lunatics when it came to picking out the right tree, which explains why I now have 78 trees in the house, because the tree, even though we know in nature nothing is perfect, they somehow thought that Christmas trees were going to be the exception to that rule, and that we would have, you know, we would find the perfect Christmas tree. And so it turned it, it always turned into a whole big thing. But I think you have to see it because, or else you're going to get a trunk that's kind of gnarled. You're going to get the top that's really sparse and you just have one long stick coming out. Oh yeah, it's an 8-foot tree. 3 feet of it is one stick. That doesn't count as an 8-foot tree. Or you'll have a giant hole in the middle. And yeah, you could fill that with some ornaments or something, but it's not, no, I don't count into the Charlie Brown tree. And then I got into the artificial tree. Did you grow up with artificial or
Real? It was artificial. Even though, I mean, I'm sure we could have found somewhere to do it. We were just like, my dad didn't want the whole house smelling of pine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, and that's what most people who don't have a real tree, that's the one thing they miss.
We had a real tree. Excuse me.
Oh, no, Dave, please. You never have to excuse yourself. You are always welcome. But I look up and you're always... I heard earlier in the show you have a newsroom to run.
There's a newsroom to run and I was running it.
Yeah,
so actually I was running away.
So I never know when you're around.
No, just to jump in. We had a real tree when I was growing up. And then they switched around when I was in high school, switched to an artificial tree.
But yeah.
Those real trees were great. There was a place 2 blocks away from our house that was... right out of a storybook. You walk up, pick the tree, carry it home.
Oh, nice.
It was great.
That is beautiful.
And we had a train set going around the base of it,
now,
too.
Now, look at you. You're like right out of a Christmas movie.
That is adorable.
Courier and knives, man.
It's very, very nice. Lori wants to jump in about the Charlie Brown tree. Hi, Lori.
Hello. I just want to know you how I let you know how I got my tree.
How?
I took a block of wood, covered it with red duct tape, drilled a hole in it, and then I went out in the yard and broke off a branch.
That's ingenuity.
Very nice. Yeah, listen, it's cost saving. It's very economical. And what do you got? One or two ornaments on there?
I have two little ribbons.
Two little ribbons.
But I also have to tell you that I make peppermint bark.
Ooh.
And I also make cinnamon bark every year.
Wow. Tom's paying attention now.
I'm salivating.
Suddenly you've got him paying attention, which he hasn't done for 2.5 hours. So it's very good. Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome.
Take care. My daughter is now living in New York, and she called. She was in Manhattan the other day shopping, and she said, "Oh, one of the greatest things, I was walking home, and there was a little Christmas tree lot right in the middle of New York, and I got to walk through it, and I smelled all the smells." And I said, "Why don't they have one of those lots in your neighborhood?" She said, "You've been in my neighborhood. That would just be another place for people to hide so they could jump out and kill me." No, my neighborhood does not have a little Christmas tree lot.
Grim.
I was like, "Oh, that's very sad. Merry Christmas. I'll see you in a couple weeks." Oh, we got to do this. Then it's news time, WGN. And then we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to see The Wizard of Oz. Brian Noonan in for Dean on 720 WGN. You heard us talking about this a little bit earlier. Paramount Theater in Aurora has a wonderful production of The Wizard of Oz going on now through January 6th. Get whisked away with Dorothy and Toto to the wonderful world of Oz. We have tickets because it's the season of giving. And I like to send people to the theater because it makes us all feel more cultured, doesn't it, Tom? When we can put on our spats and our monocles and head to the theater like big shots, fancy, fancy folk.
It's the best.
It is the best. I like to be a patron of the arts. But we didn't want to just give tickets away because that's boring. To just say, "Hey, call, be caller number 7. We're going to give you a pair of tickets." Nope, you got to earn them here on the Dean Richards program. Mostly Tom. I said, "Let's just give them to people. That'll be fun." And Tom said, "No." And I said, "You're right. We got to make them earn them." So we have some Wizard of Oz trivia that we are going to play. If you know me from my time at WGN, you know I like to host a good game show. So let's meet our players on this Sunday morning Wizard of Oz challenge. First, we say hi to Nancy. She's in Tinley Park. Hello, Nancy.
Hello.
And what do you, you're in Tinley Park, we know, but what do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
What do you teach?
I teach third grade.
Third grade. It's a rough time, isn't it? Because I've been in an assignment now in a second grade class, and these last few weeks before break, the kids are a little squirrely. Would you agree?
Yes, they're a little crazy. They are. The kids are running around, they're yelling, and they're all excited.
Yep, they're all jacked up. Do you have one of those elves on the shelves in your room, an elf on a shelf to keep them in line?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's my. The rumor is that an elf may appear in Mr. Noonan's class tomorrow to try to keep the kids motivated for the last 2 weeks. We'll see.
That's a good idea. Well, need something.
You got it.
Maybe candy canes.
I don't know. You want to get them all jacked up on sugar and then have them sit through math, Nancy? I'm not questioning your teaching techniques. You're a professional. I'm just, I don't know. Let's see. Do you know about the Wizard of Oz? You know a lot about the Wizard of Oz?
I know a little bit.
All right. Well, we'll see.
I'm not going to be bragging because it'd be a lie.
All right. I like you play close to the vest. That's very good. Let's see who your opponent is. It's Bob in Crystal Lake. Bob, turn your radio down, please.
I don't have it on at all.
You don't? It's a little phone echo. That's all right, Bob. We'll try. Wow.
I have everything off.
I believe you, Bob. It's the system here. That's all right. Bob, what do you do for a living?
I work in tech support.
I
don't know if I can fix the echo.
I was going to say, if you work in tech support, you're the perfect guy to be talking to right now because this is nuts. But here's the deal. Do you know, Bob, you know a lot about The Wizard of Oz?
I've seen it a few times.
Okay.
I know the dog's name. Are they going to ask that one?
Well, I don't think that one's on the list. But here's how it... All right. We're going to... Bob, I'm going to... Tom is going to hang up on you, and then he's going to call you right back. So while Tom is calling Bob back, Nancy, I will explain the rules of the game, and I'll have to explain them again to Bob. We're going to do best of seven. I have all of these Wizard of Oz trivia questions right here in my hot little hands. I will ask you a question. If you get the answer right... Oh, my goodness, then you are the big winner. If, however, you get the answer wrong, then your opponent will get a chance to steal, and the first 1, 2, 4, or whoever's leading when our time runs out, will be our winner. Does that sound good to you, Nancy?
That sounds beautiful.
All right. So we try to be fair and square. Tom is working very hard on the phones while we're doing that. So what do you use as classroom management? What's your classroom management to go to, Nancy, for the third graders? Shock collar? What do you do?
I just try to be positive and keep redirecting them and try to encourage them to do their best. Just the plain simple things really work.
Yeah, it does usually, especially at that age, because they're third grade. They still kind of want to be in school, and they're still respectful of their teachers. They haven't got into that, like, 7th and 8th grade where they're like, I'd just stab you as soon as listen to you.
Yeah. I mean, you want them to just do it automatically, because I've tried bribing them, and bribery doesn't always work.
No, it doesn't always work. All right, I think we're going to try this. I'm very excited to see if Bob is there. Tom, are we ready to see if Bob's on the line? Bob, are you there?
Hello.
Fantastic. Now it's perfect. All right, Bob, here's the rules of the game. I've got all these Wizard of Oz questions. I'm going to ask you a question. You get it right, you get a point. If not, Nancy will get a chance to steal. Best of seven, so first 1 to 4 is our winner or whoever is leading when our time runs out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, are we ready to play the game? Yes?
Yes.
Let's play. All right, let's play. I'm going to flip the card. Let's see who goes first. All right, Bob gets the first question. Here we go, Bob. Very excited. We all remember Dorothy's iconic ruby slippers, but what color were those slippers in the original book? What color were the slippers in the original book?
Multiple choice?
No, Tom wrote these questions. This one, some are multiple choice. This one, unfortunately, is not. So, yeah, I guess it's multiple choice because there's a myriad of colors. I need an answer.
Well, I take it. I'll say silver.
You'll take silver. That is correct. That was a good thing to take, Bob. Very nice. You're on the board. Silver. Very good. All right. That's how the game is played. Nancy, we come to you. It's hard to imagine anyone other than Judy Garland playing Dorothy, but which child star was nearly chosen to play the role? Which child star was nearly chosen?
Shirley Temple, maybe? Do I have multiple choice?
Shirley? No, multiple choice. Multiple choice is for third graders. You said Shirley
That's
Temple?
What I teach.
Shirley Temple. Look at that, Tom. First round. Boom. Dead heat. It's a tie. 1-1. Bob, the tech support specialist from Crystal Lake, and Nancy, our third grade teacher from Tinley Park, battling it out to go to the Paramount Theater to see The Wizard of Oz. All right, we come back to you, Bob. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Terry, The adorable little terrier who played Toto was reportedly paid $125 a week. How much were the Munchkins paid? Was it A, $20 a week, B, $50 a week, C, $500 a week? The dog made a buck and a quarter.
B, I say the second one.
B, $50 a week?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Congratulations, Bob. Tom, I thought these questions were too tough. I was obviously wrong. Good for you. We come to Nancy. Bob with the lead, 2-1. Nancy can tie it up right now. True or false, Nancy? True or false? The Cowardly Lion's costume was made of real lion pelts.
I'm going with, I'm going with false.
You're going with false.
Go!
Should I go with true?
Well, you should have gone with true, but now here's the fun of a true-false question. Bob gets a chance to steal. Bob, hopefully you were listening.
I'm just going to take a shot in the dark and say true.
You're going to say true? Let me see.
Awesome!
Yes, true is absolutely correct, Bob. That means you have three. Nancy has one after the end of two rounds. Oh, my goodness, and we come to Bob. Bob, you have three. If you get this next one correct, you will have four, and you know what that means, don't you, Bob?
No, four for the win?
Four for the win, exactly. Four for the win. If you can answer this question correctly, Nancy secretly sending thoughts that Bob misses this one, that something happens. Bob, what wiggly dessert item gave the horses in Emerald City their brilliant colors? Oh, and I like that Tom spelled colors the British way, with a U in there. What wiggly dessert item gave the horses in the Emerald City their brilliant colors?
You said wiggly dessert item?
I did say wiggly dessert item.
Okay, wiggly dessert item, huh?
Wiggly dessert item. 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2.
Cereal.
I'm sorry?
Jell-O.
Jell-O. Jell-O is correct, and you know what that means, Bob. You have four, and you are the big winner. Da, 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 da. Yay. Congratulations, right, Bob. Nancy, well played. True-false are always a killer because you have a 50-50 shot of things going wrong or things being right. So, Bob, let me tell you what you've won. You have won a pair of tickets to The Wizard of Oz, now playing at the Paramount Theater in Aurora through January 6th. You will get whisked away with Dorothy and Toto to the wonderful world of Oz. Everybody who's not Bob can buy tickets at ParamountAurora.com. And Bob, because I'm this kind of guy, that's right, Tom, I'm calling an audible, I'm going to give Bob also a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men, call 855-955-HVAC. So Bob is getting tickets to The Wizard of Oz and a desktop thing. Now, Nancy, it would be horrible of me during the holiday season to send you away empty-handed, wouldn't it?
Yes. Terrible.
Sure. Well, that would be.
I would cry.
Of course you would, and I would. I would feel bad about myself, and perhaps go into a shame spiral that I'm not prepared to pull myself out of. So I'm going to send you a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40 plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnati's.com. So there you go.
Oh, great, thank you.
You are very welcome, Nancy. Thank you for playing our game, Bob. Congratulations again. Thank you for playing our game, and there you go. That's how we do it. That was fun. How'd you like that, Dave? A little game show right in the middle of the morning.
I loved the indicators as to whether you got the answers correct or if you were incorrect.
Thank you. Those are from the
were innovative.
Those are from the old overnight arcade. Remember those back in the day?
Yes.
2 o'clock Sunday mornings,
yes,
when we used to do the overnight arcade.
Yes, you and I did that shift together from time to time.
Yes, we did. So those were the sounders from that. So very nice. Oh, somebody, this is why I love the fact that we have a text screen. Somebody's very upset saying that people had too much time to look up the answer. They had too much time, so they thought they were looking up the answers. I don't believe that to be true. I don't want to think that people were cheating during a little game show on the radio. I don't think that's true.
No, I don't think but so. They just did a little Google action, you know, and checking up on things.
You think? A couple people saying they thought Bob was Googling. I don't think so. I had 5 seconds. And you know what? Listen, if somebody wants to cheat, that's on their conscience, Dave. I'm not going to police the world.
They will pay for it later.
Sure, karma comes back to get you.
What goes around comes around.
I've heard that before. I've heard it.
I learned that the hard way.
Uh-oh. Well, we will have you explain that after this. It's WGN. When last we left Dave Schwann, we had a cliffhanger. Dave said he learned the hard way that what goes around comes around. Now, we can't let that just hang there in the stratosphere, knowing how you learned this valuable karmic lesson.
Anything in life, if you do something that was not quite on the level, it comes back to haunt you a little bit,
All right.
And, things that you do when you're a little kid. And
it sounds like you're carrying something around. Is this going to be like a Stand By Me? Did you find a dead body? What happened, Dave?
Nothing like that. This is very ominous. Nothing like that. But
Remember that time when I robbed a bank?
Yeah, when I robbed the bank.
Yeah, what'd you do, Dave?
I don't know. I was bullying some kids in the neighborhood, and I was, it was kind of a trade-off, though. You bullied right back, but, it just what goes around comes around. You learn, you make mistakes in life, and you should learn from them.
And you hope to learn from them. And isn't it strange you bring up, we were kids a while ago, you and I.
Yeah, we were.
And it's funny how all of a sudden something that you thought was completely gone from, you'd never think of it again, and it pops up. And whether it's something, a good memory, or like you said, something that you go, boy, I kind of wish I hadn't done that.
Yep.
And there's nothing you can do. It was 40, 50 years ago. But it's still, it's strange how we bury things and all of a sudden they're like, hey, guess what? We're back. You thought you got rid of us. Nah. Hey, we're here. Especially during the holidays when we're all a little more introspective and, we're trying to do good and we're trying to make other people happy and be happy ourselves. And then all of a sudden,
you get a Debbie Downer.
Right.
Experience. A memory that just kind of comes racing back at you.
That's when you down a gallon of eggnog and have a couple sugar cookies and just, stare at the tree or the menorah or whatever it is you're staring at during the holidays.
Get out your copy of It's a Wonderful Life and make amends.
Yeah. See, and sometimes you just have to make those amends with yourself, because there's no chance you can do it with whoever might be involved in that memory. So sometimes you got to just cut yourself some slack and grant yourself a little forgiveness. And there's nothing wrong with that. Unless, of course, you robbed a bank like Dave did back in the day.
That's why they wouldn't take my check for the pizza.
I'm still amazed that you were bouncing checks. How many checks do you have to bounce at a Domino's to get... This was the Domino's where in Carbondale? No.
No. This was at Ball State.
Ball State.
In Muncie, Indiana.
They don't play
Tom
games.
Tom was just cracking up over this.
Well, sure.
I left out the rest of the story. We had a deal with Domino's as a sponsor at the college radio station where you could call up, be the fourth caller, and win a free pizza from Domino's.
Sounds fantastic.
I was the program director at the station, and they still wouldn't take my check.
Wow. Well, listen, once you bounce a check to Domino's, there's no coming back from that, Dave. You're down a rabbit hole of financial...
That's what I'm talking about. What goes around comes around. I learned the hard way.
Have you made amends? Did you overtip a Domino's driver one time just to make up for the fact that you were giving them rubber checks back at Ball State?
Actually, they asked if it was going to be pickup or delivery, and I went and got it myself.
There you go.
That's what happened.
Very nice. Now, were you in the early days of the inception of Domino's where they gave you the four fountain pops with your pizza?
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, Domino's was really starting to get on a roll when I was in college. Pretty much strictly delivery, but, now they've just turned into this gargantuan corporation. But they cornered the market on college towns. I'm sure they did in Carbondale. Yeah.
They did, and when they came in, because we used to all order from one of the local pizza places, whether it was Quattro's or the Gold Mine or whatever.
Yeah, we had Pasquale's and Pizza King.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden Domino's comes in, and it's like, one, you're getting your pizza relatively cheap, back in the day,
and
you get four pops. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was when 30 minutes or less or it's free.
Yeah, right.
You know, thankfully, they discontinued that practice after, you know, a number of accidents.
I don't think the drivers expected tips, really, because we could barely afford to buy the pizzas. So,
oh, sure.
You know, anything over and above that was a real treat for the driver. But I can remember them being very efficient, though. They would show up.
They were there.
They knew the dorms. They knew where to go. They knew how to get in.
And it was tasty.
And it was, yeah, oh, yeah.
Because you love, well, we could talk more about it. We
pizza
have to do this.
It was gone in 5 minutes.
Of course it was. And even the really watery pop was gone.
yeah.
All right, we got to do this. Then it's news time. It's WGN.
Podcasts everywhere. A huge collection of topics all in one place. All with one search.
What's going on with WGN Plus?
For some, the holidays aren't all fun and games, as they can be tough. And apparently is helping you get through the holiday blues. Game Life Balance is testing the limits of
you can talk to me.
Yes, of course, you can always talk to me. Brian Noonan in for Dean, 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the text. That's how you get a hold of us. So when you call in, Tom Hush will be answering the phone. He's been working nonstop here at WGN. Tireless, and still doing a wonderful job this morning, despite fatigue and, quite frankly, just dissatisfaction with the current host. I'm teasing. Listen, Tom, we're getting a lot of, you wrote those fantastic questions for the quiz, and I thought they were exemplary. We're getting a lot of pushback on the text line claiming that one of our contestants obviously was Googling his answers. Now, listen, folks, we are not the moral police, and as Dave said earlier, what goes around comes around. So, I don't know. People are not happy.
Well, at the end of the day, we can't prove it.
Right.
And, I try to write the questions in a way that they're difficult. I put them in sentences so that
you can't
just Google.
We weren't giving people an inordinate amount of time to answer. It wasn't like I asked the question, left, had a sandwich, came back and said, by the way, do you have an answer yet?
Yeah. And plus, I mean, it's 2018. Everybody's got a smartphone and they're savvy, you know? What can we say? But I believe in the trustworthiness and the truthfulness of both of our contestants.
I do as well. And if you think somebody, if you think somebody has to cheat, what does that say about humanity during the holiday season? It makes me sad, Tom, and I don't think I'll go on. But I have to because we're here until 1 o'clock. And after 12:30, it's food time, and we've got our good friends from Morton's, the steakhouse, coming in. They're going to talk about some new seasonal menus, New Year's and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day hours, and some specialty cocktails for the season. So a lot coming up. And during this time of year, a lot of us, we entertain, right? We bring people in. We want to have them in our homes. We go to their homes. More and more people have food need, dietary needs, either because of allergies or because of choices, whether it's, I'm a vegetarian, I'm a vegan, I don't eat this, I don't eat that. And while you try to accommodate people, sometimes they cross the line. So I want to know from you, 312-591-7200, how... 981-7200. Boy, I went back to the old phone number. That was weird. 312-981-7200. I want to know how you would handle this. This is I saw this today in the Trib. It's Ask Amy. And we've all had something like this happen. It says, Dear Amy, every year my husband and I host a holiday get-together for several friends and neighbors. We provide the main dish, a couple of sides, and drinks. We ask friends to fill in with other salads, sides, and desserts. Which sounds, this is me commenting now, that sounds very fair, and it sounds like a lot of fun. Back to the letter. This year, with little notice, my friend Barb, in quotation marks, texted me. She said, This year I will need you to prepare my food differently, end quote, due to her recent diagnosis of celiac disease. She explained that, quote, even a crumb of cross-contamination, end quote, will result in her not feeling well. She instructed me to check all my spices and ingredients and to thoroughly clean all my cooking and serving utensils before preparing food for her. That seems a little much, Barb. Back to the letter. She even provided a list of online resources I could use to learn more. Amy, I was shocked, speechless, and my husband was livid, as I would be. I responded that I would check ingredients and try my best to accommodate. My husband said that if the disease was so dire, she would need to pack her own plate of food. She said I should not contact our other guests and provide any He said I should not contact our other guests and provide any instructions on Barb's behalf. I was considering moving mountains for Barb when the final straw came. She asked us to thoroughly clean our grill grates. Should there be any gluten left on them from what we grilled last? Is our friend being ridiculous here, or are we being insensitive to her disease? How far does a host couple need to go out of their way to accommodate a guest in this situation? That's the end of the letter. All right, friends, how far does a host have to go out of their way to accommodate a guest in this situation? I will answer before I tell you what Amy said. Let me tell you what I say. This friend is way out of line. Way, way, way out of line. I can understand you saying, hey, just so you know, I've gotten diagnosed with this. If you have some things that aren't, or if you're thinking of different recipes, that's fine. Or if I was Barb, and again, this is me, I would say, okay, this is new. I'm going to bring stuff that I know I can eat. And then maybe if the hosts have something that I know I can eat, I'll enjoy that. But I'm not going to go out of my way to have somebody prepare things completely different. And then to have the audacity to tell them, to give them resources, to tell them to clean their own, to clean the grills and to check everything and blah, blah, blah. No, I think if you have some sort of dietary restriction or whether it's a dietary restriction based on some sort of illness, or if you have a dietary choice that you've made, that you've decided you're vegetarian or vegan, it's okay to let the person know, but it's on you to, if you really need special things to eat or drink, then maybe you just bring them yourself and say, you know what, instead of donating a dish to the party like I would have done or like I've done before, I'm just going to bring the things that I want to eat. And if somebody wants them, I'll definitely share them, but I'm gonna set myself up this way. Watch Mike and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlan, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9. All right. Hopefully you heard the letter to Ask Amy. They hosted a holiday potluck. We're getting the same response from a number of texters. I will share that with you after we say hello to April, who has been hanging on. Hi, April.
Hi there. Every Christmas time we have a potluck, and I put my name next to a side dish because, to be honest, I don't like eating dips and cookies for dinner. So, you know, I just sign up for myself. And someone who never comes into the staff lounge or talks to anyone said, well, what are you bringing? I said, I haven't decided that yet. It's a couple weeks away. And she said, well, I'm vegetarian and no one ever thinks of me. And I was very irritated. I eat healthy, so right. She thinks I'm a vegetarian, but I'm not. And she signed up for cookies. I said, well, it's kind of rude because you signed up for something that I can't eat. I'm allergic to eggs. And so-and-so is diabetic and someone else is gluten intolerant. I said, I don't think we can worry about each other. We just need to bring what we want and be quiet.
Yeah, I agree with you, April. We're all adults. I mean, we have to watch out for kids' allergies. But if you're a parent of a child with allergies, you're going to be watching out. We can't expect everybody else to know all of our needs. Right.
No, and I work in a school, to be honest, and I don't think it's everyone's job. It's that child's job to learn about their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
When they get old enough, I've even had third graders who know what they may not eat and know how to read labels.
Sure.
Because, to be honest, you got to. If you're going to keep yourself safe, I have to do it since I'm allergic to eggs, and I never, ever expect anyone to accommodate me, and I try not to let people know I am. But she kind of kicked me off, so I let her know. But
yeah, at some point, you got to drop the hammer on people. April, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We're getting a number of the person's demands are outrageous. All of that. Let's talk to Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Yeah.
Hi, Jenny.
Oh, hi. I didn't know it was me, Jenny, a different Jenny.
Well, I don't have any other identifying characteristics, so it's you, Jenny.
very common name. Anyway, my sister has had celiac for about 30 years, and it's an autoimmune disease. Half of my family has celiac. They don't expect people to cook separately for them when we go to holiday parties. But this lady's crazy. Clean your grill grates? I mean, usually someone who has celiac disease is allergic to things that are either breaded,
right,
or floured. Or what do you cook on your grill that's breaded and floured?
I don't know, but she's very panicked that something
if you
there might be
a holiday party. I mean, what, a roast, a turkey, a ham? Those things don't have gluten.
Well, I don't know what these people are grilling up at their party, but obviously Barb, not her real name, is terrified that she will somehow be cross-contaminated. Which,
and just the way that she said it was very rude.
Yeah.
You could ask, if you're making a gravy, would you mind thickening it with cornstarch instead of flour?
Yeah.
Which is a very substitute, but this lady is just crazy. She's crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Jenny,
for yourself, definitely.
I appreciate
you're
your
so
call. Thanks, Jenny. It seemed like things got a little bit up. So a lot of people are agreeing with Jenny. Let's get one more. Matt's been hanging on. Hi, Matt.
Hello, Brian. Can I just say it's a pleasure to hear you back on Sundays.
Oh, well,
thank
you.
Every so often, especially when Dean takes time off.
I appreciate that.
So here's the thing. I think that they should turn the lights out in the front of the house and then eat in the back of the house and then lock the door. So when Barb comes over, she can't get in and she thinks they're not home and that the party was canceled. Now, I don't know who grills when it's 20 degrees out.
Well, we don't know where this letter came from.
Ah, well, that's true. Okay, I'll give you that. However, I've known numerous people with celiac disease. Let me tell you, it's one thing to not bread something with something that's not that doesn't have gluten. It's another thing entirely to have to scour everything minutely and pretend like it's a clean room for radioactive material. And frankly, if it was me, I would personally say I would make something that's not. That doesn't have gluten for her, and then ask her to bring a dish of her own, and then for Christmas, I would give her a box of breadcrumbs. But that's just me.
Wow. Matt. I like it, but I can't condone it during the holidays. But know that I like it, and I would condone it other times of the year. Matt, thanks for the call. One of the few times that universally the text and the call is coming down on the same side, and Amy saying the same thing. People are saying this woman is nuts. She needs to bring her own food. She can't expect the guest or the host to take care of her. Amy says she's not communicating about her needs in a way designed to inspire much of an effort for you to worry about her disease. Her requirements seem overwhelming and are coming off as demands. She's trying to shift responsibility for her health from herself onto you. Don't take it on. Instead of you communicating her needs to other guests, she says that Barb should have to tell the other guests. And then she says, assume that your best efforts might not be enough to decontaminate your kitchen to Barb's standards. So tell her, I worry that I can't guarantee that all the food in the kitchen area will be decontaminated the way you might need. It would definitely be safest for you to bring your own food this year. If you feel you also need to bring your own plates, silverware, etc., I assure you we won't be offended. And don't forget to bring a dish to share with the rest of the group. Looking forward to seeing you.
Sounds like Chernobyl. Jeez.
Yeah. How?
What's the half-life of gluten in your oven?
Again, we are all. It sounds like these are all grown-ups. So at some point, you have to take responsibility for your own life, whether it's your own health or whatever, and not assume that somebody else is going to do a complete scrub down of their house and check every little thing to, you know, just either don't go to the party or bring your own stuff.
Yeah.
Bottom
and
line.
I'm sympathetic towards it. Like, celiac, that's a tough thing to live with.
Of
but
course
like,
it is.
I feel like the number one thing that with anybody I've met with celiacs is that they're like, you're in charge of your own health here because it's a tough one. That's a toughie to have.
Oh, sure. And you know, if you've studied it at all, which you have, if you have it, you know what you can and can't eat. And there's a difference between if you're at a party and you see something, you're like, that looks like something I could. Let me just ask, hey, did you put anything in this? That's fine. I got no problem with that. Hey, did you, like, I know people who are alcoholics. And they'll say, hey, that smells like it has, you know, some booze in it. I said, yeah, but, you know, it was cooked off. And they're like, yeah, no. So I don't think anybody is offended if you ask them if there's certain ingredients in a dish. For you to assume that your needs outweigh everyone else's, and that not that so much as that your needs should be catered to by everyone else, that's a problem. That's a problem.
Very un-Christmas-like.
It's very un-4th of July-like, very un-Groundhog's Day-like.
Do you have some gluten-free hot dog buns?
Yeah, just at some point you go, listen, I'm going to do my best. When I'm entertaining, I try to think, what would people like to eat? Basically, or, you know, here's what I think I'm going to make. I hope people enjoy it. I tried it. There's always some, you know, vegetable thing. There's always something in case you don't eat meat. There's something at, you know, the house for you to eat. It's not like, oh, I got a can of tuna in the cupboard if you want to pop it open. But at some point, you're the guest.
I only serve one thing at my parties.
What is that?
Barbecue spare ribs and RC Cola.
That's
no
it?
No more, no less.
I like it. That sounds like a party. Is it warm RC Cola?
Oh, the warmest. I actually boil it.
I don't think there's any... that's how you know you're in Chicago and you know you're at, you know, like a real taco place or hot dog stand where you walk in and it's RC.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're like, God, ooh, I love it. The Royal Crown Cola. I don't have RC that often. I don't think I've had it in years.
All you have to do is order a large pizza from any pizzeria in Chicago. They'll throw it in.
Oh, yeah, you get the 2 liter of RC?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, and you're, it's like, wait, who's drinking it? Because they've been in business for a long, long time. So I don't know. Somebody's drinking RC Cola. It's just not me. It's food time after the news on WGN.
Have some more chicken. Have some more pie. It doesn't matter. It's boiled or fried.
It is food time on the Dean Richards Show. Brian Noonan in for Dean. Food time is sponsored by Greek Island Restaurants. Today, we welcome Morton's, the Steakhouse. Patrick Hoyle is the GM for Morton's. Morton's 6 locations, of course, Morton's.com. Welcome. Good to see you. You guys can you each have your own microphone. You know what? They're huddled around. And who did you bring with you, Patrick?
This is Artie Jr., one of our sous chefs at the Wacker location.
Very nice. Good, nice.
He actually helped train me when I started.
Really? Is that right?
That's true.
Very nice. So Morton's, everybody knows, 6 locations, the quality food all the time. And as we come into the holidays, the menus like in a lot of fine places, change seasonally, and Morton's is no exception. You guys have a new seasonal menu.
Which is fantastic. It's something we weren't able to do before that the new owner allows us to do. So quarterly we switch up stuff, and we've got the bacon steak is more geared towards winter now.
There we go.
There, a little bit better?
Yeah, we want to be able to hear. We want to be able to hear everything.
Yeah, the new quarterly specials are fantastic, allowing our corporate chef to actually be more creative, switch up the menu. So when our regular guests come in, hey, there's something new this week.
Yeah,
but I brought a couple of things that are some of our staples today. We've got a few different bar bites for you to sample, as well as our Cote de Boeuf, which is a huge ribeye that we will be running through. The end of or 15th of January. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, so that's going along with the holiday. It's in addition to the regular menu during the holidays, the Cote de Boeuf. So
correct. That's not even on the printed menu. This is something that you get an email on or a text on. Mm-hmm. Or,
I like a special. Yeah.
So, Chef, explain what this is, because it looks phenomenal. We'll be posting pictures, of course, to let you know.
This one is like it's a 36 ounce, kind of like a bony. But it's bigger than that. It's coming with the shallots, marinated for 2 days. And we just put it like a garlic butter on the top. And the side, we put a watercress and a special ajou from Morton's. So this one is the flavor. The garlic came like a sensational flavor as soon as walking into your lips and everything. So if you get it like medium and less, is better.
So medium. When as a chef, when you're in the kitchen and somebody orders a well done steak, do you just want to go out to the table and shake them and go, "What are you? What are you doing? This is completely
don't insane. Kill him. Don't kill him, please.
Yeah, don't.
Then
don't
they
kill
ask
him.
For A1 sauce on it.
No.
That's got to be one of the worst things. When as a chef, when you create something and it this is I know this is how it should taste, and of course people have dietary things and make those, but sometimes you just have to. No matter what you think you like, this is how we've designed it. Just enjoy it this way.
If you want to enjoy it, you can enjoy it like Red Plus or medium rare.
Yeah.
The best.
All right.
But if you want it a little more, it's going to be medium. More than that, it's completely you killing.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be, the flavor is going to go.
Yeah, you want it still a pink inside, warm.
Nice, warm, center pink.
Wow.
Oh,
chef is an
sweet.
Ecstasy pack. Sweet.
Does have a passion.
He does, which is great to hear.
He's only 24 years with us.
Wow. So you guys must be doing something right. You keep it.
I always
around.
Say, I'm the new guy. I'm 15 years this man.
That is, yeah, that's nothing. What are you? I don't even know how they let you speak for the place after
exactly.
only 15 years. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
So how does the chef, the corporate chef, decide on where the seasonal menu is going to go? What kind
of he collaborates with? There's a couple of corporate chefs that work just on the Morton's concept, and they collaborate with each other and look at different trends and look at what the upcoming seasonal harvest will be to kind of match it with that. For the summertime, we did a bacon steak with a little maple glaze on it. Now it's Ooh. Got more of a brown sugar mustard mm-hmm. for the winter.
Okay,
so it's a little bit heartier. That's that Nooski bacon out of Wisconsin. That's just insane.
Is it a thicker cut? What is it? More like a pork belly?
Pork
kind
belly?
Of
yeah.
Pork
yeah.
belly. Pork
yeah.
belly, about what, a half inch. And then really nice big cut. And here I'm talking with my hands and yeah. there's no cameras in here.
Well, no, they're watching us on the stream. If people are watching at WGNradio.com, they yeah. can see it. And they can see the fabulous treats. So that's the bacon steak with sweet mustard glaze. That's one of the
Correct.
New items uh-huh. On the seasonal menu. Of course, being Morton's, a lot of beef-centered new items on there. The dry-aged prime bone-in New York, 18 yep. ounce.
18 ounces.
Delicious.
Yeah, that's something
delicious.
If you like dry-aged beef, people go nuts over it.
Explain, because people hear those terms all the time, dry aged and wet aged. And I know some places are very, we only do one way or another. Morton's does dry aging.
We bring it in as a special.
Okay.
We're mainly
okay.
wet aged house.
So what's the difference?
Well, the dry age in a controlled environment, you're actually taking a big cut of meat and hanging it in a room and letting the outside of it dry, and for lack of a better term, kind of get a rot on the outside.
Okay. Is there salt or something in the room?
There's all sorts of humidity controls.
Okay.
Some people do salt, but then when you're ready to cut the steak, you cut away the bad parts, mm-hmm. and you're left with this beautiful steak that, if you like a dry age, people go nuts over it. It's a little bit nutty for me, a little bit more of a blue cheese nutty flavor to it.
Oh, okay.
Where I prefer the wet age steaks.
And how do they wet age them?
Wet age, you're going to take the same cut of steak, but you're going to cryovac it and let it marinate and age in its own juices.
Okay.
If you go to our butcher, there's actually a room with a name over the door, and it's just our steaks in that room.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And, Chef, do you have a preference, dry or wet? I mean, you'll cook them both. You'll serve them both deliciously. But
I like wet. You know, it's better because, it's kind of like as soon as you cut it, you can see right away like if you leave it like red plus, it's gonna be like little blood come out still.
Okay.
If you dry edge, it's not coming out.
Is that right? Okay? So yeah. Nothing comes out.
No.
Even if it's cooked rare, it's holding
just
it
a little.
Yeah. So now, we always have the food, and Patrick's like, hey, we got a dough. We're gonna talk because we have not only the spread. Let me give you the other two things on the seasonal menu: sautéed wild mushrooms. This is the year.
Phenomenal.
A mix of mushrooms, chef.
Yeah, it's oysters. Oysters and
shiitakes and
cremini.
Yeah.
With a butter and a slice of garlic. Salt and pepper to taste, and crouton.
Very nice.
Two pieces of crouton. And the plate is in a 9-inch round. So as soon as you take it, very hot. Very hot.
Sounds good.
Oh,
And then the truffle mashed cauliflower. I'm a cauliflower guy.
People go nuts.
I saw this and I was like, "Oh, this sounds very tasty." So these are all the new items on the seasonal menu, and then we've got the Côte de Bœuf talk about, which is on there as well. But you know, we got to have something to wash all this down. We go to Morton's, we're having a big steak, we're having these fantastic sides, we're enjoying all this great food, and then we think to ourselves, well, I got to start off the night with a cocktail, and it is the holidays, so I'm sure there is a special holiday cocktail, correct?
Certainly. For the holiday this year, we came up with a Holiday Bliss, and it's a really extremely cool presentation. I don't know if this is on camera for those watching online right now.
I'm looking. If you hold it up.
Yep. Let me just finish
after
pouring.
After you're finished with the I like the I like how particular Patrick is with the. Oh, it looks like a perfume bottle. Hold on, this is Tom. I wish we had had some. All right, hold that up. That is all right. It is. It looks like something out of a science fiction movie.
Well, it's a Christmas ornament when you're.
It's a Christmas ornament that is on fire. There's steam and stuff coming out. It looks terrific.
Oh, it's absolutely delicious. This one is one of Tyler's creations. He's one of our head sommeliers for the company. And you've got in this a little Grey Goose vodka, some passion fruit liqueur, cranberry juice, lemon juice, a little simple syrup, La Marca Prosecco, and then a little dried ice. That's food grade. It's safe.
Okay.
Well, let's garnished with some raspberries on top.
So when it comes, thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. It comes to the table in the ornament, and it comes with the dry ice causing the steam in the front. And then I saw you filtered it out into like a martini glass or kind of a cocktail glass, so all the dry ice comes out of there. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And again, it's food-grade dry ice. Don't try this at home if you get something packaged in dry ice to the house. Don't all of a sudden go, hey, I can make a bliss over there. No. Let the professionals at Morton's do this.
I saw this on TV. It'll work.
I was listening on Sunday morning, and the guy from Morton said he used dry ice in this cocktail. All of a sudden, that would be bad PR. I'm going to take a sip because that's, you know, it's rude not to. Oh, my.
Is that nice?
It is very nice. So tell us again. It's Grey Goose vodka as the base.
Correct. There's 1 ounce of Grey Goose, 1.5 ounces of the passion fruit liqueur, 2 ounces of cranberry juice, 1/2 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce simple syrup, 1/2 ounce of La Marca Prosecco just to give it a little bubble, and then it's poured into the container with the dried ice, and then garnished with 3 raspberries and strained out. Served in a coupe.
A coupe.
Yes. Sure. Pinkies out.
Last time you were here, we had a big conversation about wine glasses. So now I need to learn what a coupe is. It's a beautiful cocktail glass. I always drink with my pinky up. It's an old injury, and it makes me look classy. Patrick. Patrick Hoyle is here. He is the GM for Morton's, the steakhouse. Arnie Jr. is here, one of the sous chefs. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the holiday hours because people start thinking, oh, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. Also, Christmas Day and New Year's Day, they can go to one of Morton's 6 locations. Mortons.com is the website. We'll talk, and then we have to sample, especially the Côte de Bœuf, which is, I just like saying it.
Isn't it cool?
Makes me sound continental. That is a special that is being added to the menu through the 15th of January. Is
correct.
That what you said? Through the 15th of January. So we will do all of that. Food time continues after this. I've got to move my bliss because engineering frowns on me pouring cocktails into the board.
I'll just pour it down your throat.
Yeah, they get all antsy. Stop pouring booze onto the controls. All right, we'll do more with the guys from Morton's after this. WGN. Oh, it is a beautiful Sunday, and it is food time, which is sponsored by a Greek Island restaurant. Patrick Hoyle and Arnie Jr. are here from Morton's, the steakhouse, Mortons.com, 6 locations. We have been talking about the new seasonal menu that is, and everything on there sounds delicious, and we have been sampling the Bliss, their special holiday cocktail, which I have never seen a presentation like this on a cocktail, where it comes and it looks like a beaker from a sci-fi movie. There's steam coming out, and then it comes in a little Christmas ornament, which you just told me, Patrick, when people order this at the restaurant, No?
No. Oh, you, that's a special present for you.
Oh, for me. Well, never mind. But it comes in a Christmas ornament, and then you get to, oh, man, and then you get to enjoy it. So let's turn to some of the classics that Morton's that you brought in that people have been enjoying for. How long has Morton's been around?
Going on our 40-year anniversary.
40-year anniversary. So obviously things are going well. You're doing it right because the restaurant business, we see restaurants come and go, and then there's classics in town, and Morton's one of them that has been going. So what are some of the things that you brought with you today?
Well, if you brought a few of the bar bites up with us as well, because you can go to the bar and just get a light appetizer if you want, sure, and not have to go for a full dinner too.
Yeah.
So there's other options than coming in and having a huge dinner.
Well, people might want to come in and just have a bliss, and then they go, well, you know, I should have a little something with my delicious cocktail.
Exactly.
So these are perfect.
Exactly, yeah.
So we brought in a few, the crab cake BLT.
Ooh.
The our slider hamburgers are just insanely good.
Yeah.
I will put our burger up against anybody's burger.
I've had the Morton's burger, and I would concur. That is a safe bet.
I love that word, concur.
Yeah, concur.
We brought our filet sliders as well. But with the crab cakes, my favorite complaint I've ever gotten my entire career, this lady was having the crab cakes as an entree. So
okay.
It wasn't with the bun or any of that. She calls me over to the table, and you could just tell she's just mad as could be. And I walked over, and I said, well, what seems to be the issue? And my dad's grave, I'm not embellishing any of this. She goes, look at this crab cake. And I look, and I go, looks perfect. What are you talking about? She goes, where's the breading? Where's the corn? And I paused.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I go, so there's too much crab in your crab cake. And she goes, yes!
Wow.
Favorite complaint I've ever gotten.
Yeah. This has got to be a woman who's only had, like, crab cakes from the freezer section.
I'm thinking so.
Because I'm guessing, Chef, when you hear something like that, do you just shake your head and go, why do I bother?
I don't want to hear that.
Why don't you just open a can of soup and pour it in something?
Oh, that's
this
right?
is, you know. So when you're back there and you hear these kind of complaints as a chef, obviously you're not going to go out and into the dining room. But what do you guys say amongst yourself? Give us a little glimpse behind those swinging doors to what you guys say on the line when Patrick comes back and goes, you'll never believe what this woman was saying. There's too much crab in the crab cakes.
You got the dump button?
No, sometimes we have to go out and explain really well what we make it and things like that. But, you know, sometimes they're really angry and what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I have to explain to them, ma'am, it's called a crab cake. Hence, we put a lot of crab in there. Yeah. It's kind of the title ingredient. That's why we put it. But, you know, if people haven't had quality crab cakes, you get a lot of places, you get a lot of filler like
that.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe that just threw her.
Yeah, there's just enough filler in this to hold it together.
That's the best kind of crab cake. So what kind of... Patrick has thrown down the gauntlet, putting the Morton's burger up against pretty much any burger in the land. What is it that makes the Morton's burger so much superior in Patrick's estimation to everybody else? Besides your tender, loving
care. Maybe, you know, though, when you work with your heart, probably,
yeah,
and try to make the best, probably is the click, the key, and try to make everything perfect.
Sure.
Kind of like a... Try to put everything like sweet, like making perfect.
And what kind... I'm sure you use a mix of meat, and if it's not a top secret, Morton secret, can you give us a... what kind of meat do you use in the burger?
It's prime ground.
It's prime ground.
Okay. Yeah. Very nice. It's like, none of your business. It's red. It's red. That's all you need to know.
No, but it's all prime.
It's all prime.
You put a little seasoning into it, but it's not over-seasoned.
No.
And it's actually how Arnie Morton met Klaus, the co-founder of...
Oh, really?
...of Morton's, was over a cheeseburger.
Is that right?
Arnie had ordered the burger at the bar at the Playboy Club, and he took a bite of it, and he went, who made this burger? And the bartender thought the guy was mad. Arnie was mad.
Yeah.
He said, Klaus. He goes, go get him. So brings Klaus out, and Klaus thinks he's going to get yelled at, and Arnie goes, it's the best burger I've had in my life.
Nice.
And that's how they met.
That's how they met. And the rest is history. 40-some years later, exactly. We're still going strong at Morton's Steakhouse. So we have the crab cake sliders, the burgers, and what was the third one?
The filet mignon.
The filet mignon. No explanation needed. Just a fantastic piece of meat. All right, before we get out of here, we got to tell, because people are looking for their holidays. What are your hours on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and New Year's Eve and New Year's Day?
Well, you have to go online to check.
Sure.
But we are open Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day at all four locations.
Okay.
Or six in Chicagoland. And company-wide as well.
Sure.
And the lunch restaurants, I believe there's four open for lunch, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
okay.
Next week and the week after. But if you go online, you'll pick those up as well.
Okay. So you need to get to Mortons.com and make your reservations. Has it changed over the years? I'm assuming you guys weren't always open on Christmas Day and New Year's Day, but the demand has grown so much.
Oh, tremendously.
You have to be. You have to be, right?
Yeah. It's Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are becoming bigger than New Year's Eve.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just, a couple coming in that don't have kids.
Right.
It's big families coming.
Oh, sure.
Tables of 12, tables of 14.
Yeah. So
it's really changed the whole... the setup of the business.
And people, again, you'll have the new seasonal menu, they have the regular menu, and the special, I will let you pronounce it this time, Chef, the special beef dish that is going to be on till the 15th of January.
The buck boeuf.
The boeuf. Oh, the boeuf. The croûte de boeuf. Very delicious.
That's the best.
The croûte de boeuf. So, Mortons.com is where you can get your reservations. Still, I'm sure, a few openings, but you got to get them in quick.
It's getting tight.
Yeah.
Don't, it really is.
Don't think you can call on the 23rd and go, hey, I've got a party of 15 I need
for
New
Year's
Eve. Oh, I'm sure they do. Everybody's like, but I've been coming there for years. Can't you get me in?
Well, you've got an X amount of tables.
Right. If you've been coming in for years, you know how crowded it gets. You should have called a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Or go online and make your reservations. Patrick, Chef, thank you so much for being
Thanks
here.
Thanks so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
It's always, always good to see you.
Thank
Happy
you.
Holidays. Merry Christmas
to you as well.
And Chef, don't just keep the urge of running out and strangling somebody in the room. So there's too much beef in this steak.
Too much?
Just shake your head.
36 ounces.
I can't deal with you. Mortons.com.